जय विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सदा श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराजशील प्रभुपाद की
जय।
जय नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सदा श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराजशील प्रभुपाद की
जय।
अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोव गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री गुरु श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय बोधलेश्वर भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी नविशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिपोदितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिदां पुराणमुनिनां अध्याये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि नमोऽस्तु देव्यासंशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाहितवत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नपरिहादाय तोत्रवे त्रैकवाणे ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः श्रोवर्षदोगावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वल्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेव सुदं देवं कंसचाणूरवर्धनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटाजयद्रतजला गान्धारनीलोत्पलशल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कयुवर्तककेशव पाराः शर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिगदा सम्बोधनाभूदितम् लोकैसज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पीबीयमानमुदा भूयात् भारतभङ्गजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मावरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्तन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैरुपेदैः साङ्गपदे क्रमोपनिषदैर् गायन्दीयं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितदर्गदेन मनसा वशन्दीयं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदसुरा सुरजनैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम्
गोविन्द
गोविन्द chapter we have seen that the Krishna is talking about who is a devotee, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is so subtle. When you start understanding Bhagavad Gita, you are actually amazed by the subtlety of it. Generally, when you read a book in English, particularly in English language, and then you read the translation purport, you take it that's what it is, isn't it? But the subtle side of Bhagavad Gita, that's what makes it more interesting. In the beauty of Bhagavad Gita is there. There are so many things in this chapter. If I say this to what I have understood from them and what I read in others and heard from others, possibly it may not hit you straight away, but if you think about it, and if you can analyze it yourself, you will see that how far away we are from what Krishna is saying to us. How distant we are, disconnected with the work, with the spiritual life, totally disconnected. Yeah. Anyway, to this chapter, Krishna spoke about basically Karma Yoga. Whole chapter is basically Karma Yoga. And the title is given as Bhakti Yoga. The title is Bhakti Yoga, but in the first, say, 12 verses, there's only 20 verses. The 12 verses is all about Karma Yoga. In order to make us understand that Karma and Bhakti are so closely connected. Karma and Bhakti are so closely connected. And many devotees have misconception that Karma Yoga is different, Bhakti Yoga is different. Karma Yoga is essentially Bhakti Yoga. And when does it become Bhakti Yoga? That understanding you get from this chapter. When does Karma Yoga becomes Bhakti Yoga? Yeah. So, the way Krishna presented that is that so many things in Bhagavad Gita, it is like that. That's only when you understand what Krishna is saying. We don't understand, that's the problem, what Krishna is saying. And therefore we get into our own misconceptions about it, right? Earlier Krishna has said that nobody is doing any karma in this world. All karma is done by Prakriti. He said that very clearly, did he not? In the presence of Chaitanyam, Prakriti is doing the karma. This is the foundation. Nobody is doing any karma here. All karma is done by Prakriti in the presence of Chaitanyam. Because without Chaitanyam, Prakriti cannot act. So in the sanidhyam or the presence of Chaitanyam, Prakriti is doing the karma. This is the law, which is Prakriti kremanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara yodhatma kartahamidi manyade. That verse is referring to that. Prakriti is doing everything here. We are not doing any karma. We are not doing any karma. That understanding we have to come first, get to understand that. And that's a difficult thing for people to accept it, because everybody is doing what the best they can. But Krishna is saying, no, nobody is doing any karma here. Prakriti is doing all the karma. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. But then what happens is that in between our ahangaram comes in, and ahangaram thinks that he is doing the karma. This is the way the structure is like that. The structure of this world is like that. Prakriti is doing all the karma in the presence of Chaitanyam, Krishna's presence, which means Chaitanyam. The presence of Chaitanyam, Prakriti is doing all the karma. In presence of that, in the middle of that, our ahangaram comes in and starts thinking that he is doing the karma. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Actually, and that is why to understand this thing called karma itself is why Krishna has spoken so much about karma here as well as in the Bhagavatam also. That most of the people start thinking, because I am doing the karma, how can you live in this world without karma? And he is trying to explain to us the structure of this world, how it works. It doesn't work like the way we think about it. It works in a different way. That is Krishna's, because after all the Creator is saying this. So, similarly, when you go through this chapter now, from here onwards, now there's 8 verses, and he's saying, who is a devotee? Advaishta sarvabhudanam, that verse onwards. Maitra karuna yevacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukakshami. And then he says all qualities of a devotee. Normally a person, when he reads it, he thinks that, oh, maybe I should do all these things now. I should cultivate all these qualities, what is mentioned in this chapter, in the rest of the chapter. And I can become a proper devotee then. That's the impression we all get. That is not how it is. These verses, you cannot practice it and develop it. It is not possible. That's not how it is meant to be. What Krishna is saying to us, that as you surrender, as Krishna says, as you surrender, and as you follow all the other 12 verses, what he has spoken before, and as you make progress in that path, in that route, what will happen is, we get purified. When we get purified, the ahankaram comes down. When the ahankaram goes away, the jiva bhavam goes away from us, the end result of that is the antaryami inside. All these qualities are antaryami's quality, not jiva's quality. Jiva will not have these qualities, what Krishna is going to say from now on. Gradually what will happen is, the antaryami from inside will exhibit these qualities from inside. That is how it will happen. It is not going to happen, by the way, you are going to cultivate them and it will develop within the jiva. Ahankaram cannot have these qualities. Ahankaram will never have these eight verses, what he is going to talk about. So what I am saying is that the misunderstanding comes first, that we are going to develop all these qualities by practicing it in life, and over a period of time you will develop these qualities. No, ahankaram will never have these qualities. These are all qualities of the antaryami. So when jiva bhavam goes away, ahankaram comes off, goes away from inside, when ahankaram leaves us, the antaryami inside manifests its qualities, and these are all the antaryami's qualities inside. That is how it will happen. So I'll just read through those verses and then go into that in detail. Advaishta sarvabhudanam maitra karunayevacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadal patradanishaya mai arpidamano buddhir yomal bhakta samaye priya yasmano dvijade logo logano dvijade jaya harshamasha bhayo udvage muktoyasachame priya anabhinakshashijir daksha gudas udasino gadavyatha sarvarambha parityagi yomal bhakta samaye priya yona hrishadina dvaishti nashojadina kaanshani शुभाशुभवृत्यागी भक्तिमानीय समये प्रिया समशत्रौज मित्रेज तथा मानापमानयो शीतोष्ण सुखदुःखेषु समसंगविवर्जिताः तुल्य निंदस्तु निर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचिल् अनिगेहेदस्थिरमतिर् भक्तिमान्ये प्रियो नर येतु धर्म्यामृतमिदं यथोक्तं पर्युपासते श्रद्धदानमल्परम भक्तास्थितियो मे प्रिया. These are the eight verses. And then this Bhakti Yogam chapter finishes. Now, why is Krishna hitting on the karmam so strongly? Why is it like that? Why is that Krishna is so worried about the karmam so much? The reason is this, that karmam and our body is connected very strongly. Body and the karmam, because we do karmam with the body. Body is the instrument for doing the karmam. If we get too obsessed with the karmam, you will get very strong identification with the body. That is the problem. If you get too obsessed with the karmam, you will get obsessed with the body. Your identification with the body will get very, very, very strong. That is the reason why Krishna is saying that karmam has to be handled very carefully. It is for this reason rishis have set up a system for us, a practical system, which was based on the Varnashrama Dharma, that father to son, father did a certain karma, the son followed the same, then the children followed the same, in that way father to son, father to son. When we lost this Varnashrama Dharma system, and this modern system has come now, what has happened is that the children, they grew up, by the age of 15, he has to make a decision what his career should be, or the life should, what should occupation will be in this life. And in that process, everybody has put a lot of pressure on him. And at that right age, when he is able to develop some good spiritual qualities, at that time you have shattered him with this materialistic plans of career and profession and job and everything, and he is lost. After that he is finished. He cannot come back to spiritual life again. That is the unfortunate situation today. This is why I am saying that a system what rishis have developed, they knew the problem. Problem is this, that if you give too much at that age, about 15, 16, that's the age more or less they have to make the decision. At that time, if you bombard them with all career and profession and occupation and all kinds of things, everybody telling him, what are you going to be in the future, what are you going to do, all these questions put so much pressure on him, on the child. He's just a boy or a girl at that age. What do they know about this world? That all the pressure you have thrown at them, And at the end, because all his attention has been focused on karma, which means he has become so absorbed in the body. And with the result is that afterwards he has no chance to escape from that. So the Rishi's approach is this, that make your karma not the priority in life. Keep that's the lowest priority in the life and keep it to the very minimum so that it does not become an obsession with the body. Body and the karma are so closely connected. It is for this reason Krishna has brought this Karma Yoga into Bhagavad Gita, and the Rishis have also spoken along the same lines. That somehow or the other, the society, this is the normal rule. From the Shastram side, this is the position. What the world does is another thing. That's their problem. But the Shastram is this, that you don't get obsessed with the body, attached to the body, and bodily, because body is so closely connected to the karma. And if you load the karma as the main problem in life, create the main problem in life as karma, then naturally your identification with the body will become so strong, it is difficult to come out of it after that. Whereas this whole spiritual life is to become free from the body. You see, how we have acted whole life against it. And now at the fag end of life, we are finding it difficult to come out of the body. Body is becoming, holding a strong grip on us. And this should not happen. This is why the Rishis have created that system. This is all hidden in this chapter, which is not explicitly spoken there, but it is to be understood that way. Because only the science of the Rishis is very subtle, and they understand the human nature. Dharmam, Artham, Kamam, Moksham, and they have spoken. This attraction for karma is karma shraddha to rajasi, Krishna is saying that. It is rajogunam, it is. Karma means rajogunam. Rajogunam means bodily identification. Bodily identification means no spiritual life possible. Impossible then. Right? Satya adhyatmika shraddha. Satogunam builds up means adhyatma shraddha comes in. Become free from the body. Become more released from the body. Bodily consumption. Now, at the old age, we have to battle with the body. So much battling with the body. We know that we are losing the battle. Everybody knows that. You are not going to win this battle. We will lose the battle. And still, we make all kinds of excuses. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. Somehow the body I have to take care of. What can you take care of it? It's a lost battle you are fighting. Everybody is fighting a lost battle. And not able to understand that, Rishis knew this, that this is the end result of everything. And therefore, they gave us this understanding that be focused on the soul rather than on the body. This is their teaching to us. So, it is in this context, we were saying last Sunday also, that the people who have this strong realization inside, they were not disturbed by the body. They were not disturbed by the body, right? And it is in that context, this word Advaishta was used. Dvesham comes when you are on the bodily identity. Otherwise, there is no dvesham. Dvesham is due to bodily identification, right? Advaishta sarvabhudanam. Sarvabhudanam means all living entities. No dvesham towards anybody, right? And it is a symptom of the Mahatma. That stage is called nirangusham. Nirangusham means it's not connected to anybody. Able to stay aloof from the body, everything. And the Advaishtam stage is such that you can go anywhere and not disturbed by anyone because there is no Ragadvaishtam inside. So Narada Maharshi used to go to Hiranyakashipu, Narada Maharshi used to go to Kamsa, Narada Maharshi used to go to Vasudeva and Devaki also, and like that. So he was able to do that because he was not having any attachment to anybody, that Advaishtam stage, right? So, but one thing you can notice is that all the Rishis are not similar. All the Rishis are different. All the Rishis are different, right? few Rishis have this nature that they have this independence to do what they want to do. That kind of situation. The differences what you find among the great personalities is upadhis are different. Their upadhis are different. Vali means the mind, body, and their intelligent senses, everything, right? So, because of that, different personalities are different. Sometimes you find some people like that, they can mix with anybody without difficulty. They are relaxed about it, right? So, and they also will, sometimes we have this impression that if you are very spiritual, you should not discuss anything about material life or worldly issues, you should not talk about it. There is some misconception like that, but that is not 100% that way, right? World is also there. We are also part of this world. And sometimes Maitri Bhava means that Advaishta Sarobhodhanam Maitra Karuna Yavaja. What is this Maitri Bhava? Maitri Bhava means empathy with others. Able to empathize with others, right? And sometimes some devotees, Mahalmas, they will do like this when they meet ordinary people. They go up to them and they will inquire about family and all, family members, about their welfare and things like that, right? And we think that, oh, realized souls won't talk about family life or inquire about others, right? So, and they are people who can see the problems of family life, what one is going through, everyone. And they will say sometimes certain things which you cannot even think about. And because they can relate with Grihastha-ashramam and the problems of Grihastha-ashramam, right? And so not that you see only people who are spiritual, you will talk to them. Those who are materialistic, you completely ignore them. No, that's not the way it is. Right. Okay, we all have our own limitations, but sometimes somebody whom you meet very much only knows how to talk about the material life. They don't know anything about spiritual life. They have no knowledge of spirituality or spiritual life, right? And they don't know what else to say. They know about their daily problems in life, family problems, and about the other issues at family in normal life, right? So, and that is due to the upadhi, their upadhi dosham. Inside them also, the same Antaryami is present in them, who is present inside us, is present in them also. But because the upadhi is like that, the upadhi is only absorbed in the material life, materialistic life or family identification due to that, they may not be able to relate with you properly if you are on a spiritual platform. So, so it is sometimes quite possible, because in life you meet up with all sorts of people, different types of people, right? So, so all kinds of these verses, what now, from now on, there's nothing much to explain about that. They are qualifications of the Antaryami, but when they are manifesting in a person, you can say he's a devotee. That's how you have to see that, right? Advaishta Sarabhodhanam Maitra Karuna Yevaja Nurmama Nirahangaram Samadukha Sugakshami. If you want to cultivate them, it is not possible. Possible means that it's not going to happen so easily. It's difficult to cultivate those habits, those qualities, right? They come from the Antaryami. When Ahankaram withdraws from inside, when bhakti comes in the heart, what will happen is the Ahankaram pulls back. Our Ahankaram grows down. And when Ahankaram goes away, the Antaryami from inside manifests these qualities, and that is how it comes to a person. So, sometimes because of this change in the body and change in our way of thinking accordingly. For example, if you look at our body, right, we have got the body and the power of speech and the mind. These are the three major tools what we have. So when bhakti comes in a person, on a bodily level, it's called a seva. What body does he seva? Is it not? What words does he stuti? In the Bhagavatam, all the stutis are the words. And the bhavam, feeling of all that is in the mind. All the different bhavams is in the mind. So bhakti in a person comes through these three different channels. Through the body, it comes in the form of seva. Through the words, it comes in the form of stuti. And through the mind, in the form of bhavam. That is how it happens. Bhakti comes in a person, develops in a person in these three levels. Body, the word, speech, and the mind. Yeah. So sometimes you may see people, they will say something, and you may sometimes get a little bit confused whether it is the right way to do. Once it so happened that a lady who was selling coconuts, right? And she was selling coconuts near an ashram. Ashram had a young sannyasi came there, and this along with some disciples together, they all walked into this ashram, and he saw this lady selling the fresh coconuts there, tender coconuts there, right? So this lady who was selling the coconuts, she saw this young sannyasi walking in and asking for the coconut. She just said to him that you are very handsome and you should have got married and lived a comfortable life or something. She said like that in a very innocent way. She spoke like that, right? So when she said that, Swamiji realized that she is not speaking like a spiritual person. She is like speaking like an ordinary person in this world, how they will speak, right? So he understood that the Swamiji realized that the people are thinking differently, that he was not thinking about his body so much, but when she said that you are very handsome and you should have got married and lived a proper life, in that way she put it to him. But he could not, he felt a little bit shocked when she said that to him. So, laugiyam, paramarthiyam, material life and paramarthiyam, the absolute platform, spiritual life. Once you have this Maitri Bhavam, right? Maitri Bhavam, and then you will feel empathy for her. For example, this lady who did this, right? She has a lot of family problems, issues at home, difficulties at home, right? And due to her prarabdham, that is, she is going through that, right? But at the same time, the sannyasi noticed that she is very happy. Even though all these problems are at home, imagine selling coconuts and make a living out of it, right? So that is Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya is like that, right? Vedantam, for example, this Maitri Bhavam, how is that possible, right? Krishna is saying that Karuna Yavacha. Karuna Yavacha means that Karunyam for, what is Karunyam? Karunyam means able to identify with others' problems. Everybody is going through problems in life, right? Able to identify with their problems, and if any solution can be found for that is Karunyam. Adveshta Sarvabhodayanam Maitri Karuna Yavacha. Karunyam means that able to identify with the others' problems and able to see if there is any solution possible, right? For example, a jnani's karunyam, a realized soul, what is his karunyam? His karunyam is Ishwaratvam. Ishwaratvam means that he is able to influence others to find a final solution to the problem through spiritual life, right? to know that a jiva is the highest profit for a jiva in life is knowledge, knowledge of spiritual life, right? And so when a jnani gets an opportunity to see someone, a jiva suffering, his endeavor is to transmit that knowledge of the soul to that person as best as he could. He knows very well the people are suffering in this world for want of knowledge of the soul, not due to the body. People suffer in this world not due to the body. This is a misunderstanding. We suffer from the body. We suffer from the lack of knowledge of the soul. That is what our suffering is coming from, right? So he knows that. The self-realized soul knows that. Therefore, the ultimate solution, ultimate knowledge is knowledge of the soul. Brahma Vidya, Sarva Vidya and Pradhanam. Alaya Swami says in the Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam that of all the knowledge in this world, the highest proper knowledge is only Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the soul, right? So, that in the Vyasudamani you will see Vasandavat Lokahitam Charandaha, right? So their mind works in a different way. They are not looking at how to solve all the material problems. Material problems you can't solve. Even if you solve them, it is not going to get better, right? So Bhima Bhavarnavam, Samsaram, how to cross over this mission, right, of this ocean of material life, right? And Ahayutuki, that without any motive, they have Advaishta Maitri Bhavam Karunyam. These three things, what Krishna has spoken here in that verse. Advaishtam Maitri Bhavam Karunyam. Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitri Karuna Evacha. These three things, when that happens in a person, whether he is doing sadhana or he is a yogi, whoever it may be, to the extent it expands in a person, to that extent, he will be shanti and peaceful inside. When these three qualities comes in, right? We are thinking that if you do meditation, we will develop qualities, right? It won't come like that. Because this problem has to go from inside. This problem has to leave us inside. So, he is different, I am different. This dvaitam, when it leaves us, to that extent it is good. So when you become a channel for transmission of this understanding, knowledge, and then it going to help others. When you become a channel yourself to help others on the spiritual path, right? We don't have karunyam, for example, right? Karunyam, what karunyam can we show to somebody else? Because nirmamo nirahangara, no mamada, no ahangaram. And if that ahangaram goes away, me and mine goes away, only then samadukha sugakshami. Only then samadukha sugakshami. Sukham, dukham, happiness and distress, all samam. Right? So Krishna is saying here that if sukham comes or dukham comes, either way, so chami, accept it without complaints, either way, right? Chidiksha. As he said, sahanam sarvadukhanam apradigarpurvagam chinda vilabarehidam sa chidiksha. Iti kantideya, right? So even dukham comes, distress comes in life, able to tolerate without any retaliation, revenge, pradigara buddhi, no pradigara buddhi, right? And with happiness and anandam, bliss, right? Santushta satatam yogi. Yogi is supposed to be happy always. So, different devotees have spoken about it at different times. If someone is always unhappy and in an angry mood or an upset mood, then they say he is not a devotee. If he is like that, right? So, When the mood goes away, when you become so off mood, right? Best thing is to go and sit in one room and lock it up, lock up from inside and sit there, right? Because tamogunam will build up very strongly in a person like that, right? So, bhakti is lakshanam, bhakti is symptom, is sandosham, happy, not tamogunam. Tamogunam is not a symptom of bhakti. But the problem is that these three modes of nature will keep coming one after the other in everybody all the time. It keeps coming going, right? So, Krishna says, but the symptom of bhakti is happiness, sandosham. Yadalma, dhrida nishaya. Yadalma means that he has control over himself. Dhrida nishaya. Dhrida nishaya means that very determined about self-realization in this life. He wants only that, nothing else. That kind of decision inside. Mind, intelligence, everything he has surrendered to Krishna. And at the same time, mayarpita manobuddhi, Krishna says. Mayarpita manobuddhi means mind and intelligence he has surrendered to Krishna. A one who is like that, Krishna says that, such a devotee is very dear to me. He's very dear to me. Right? In other words, what Krishna is saying there, when someone has all these qualities in him, Krishna is saying that I have put the stamp on him already. That is why when you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he spoke about Sudama, he said the same thing, right? Krishna came down from the top of the balcony when he saw Sudama far away, came down all the way, embraced him and received him and took him to the palace upstairs, right? So there you can observe, if you look at there, that the Bhagavatam says, Krishnasyasil sakha kaschil, brahmano brahma vitsama. If you look at that, he is saying there that Shri Shukavaja, Krishnasyasil sakha kaschil, brahmano brahma vitsama. Virattam indriyarteshu prashandalma jidendriya. So, when you look at that verse, you can understand that he is talking about a devotee who is his friend. If you look at the 19th verse, sakhyupriyasya viparasher anga sangadi narvradaha prido vimunjada bindu netrabhyam pushkare chanaha. Krishna ran down from the palace, received him, and anga sangadi nirvratam, embraced him, and prizo vimunchada bindu netrabhyam pushkarekshana. Krishna, tears came from Krishna's eyes when he embraced Sudama, right? So, when he touched Sudama, his body became completely ecstatic, Krishna's body, right? And tears came from Krishna's eyes, seeing Sudama's situation, condition like that. Yeah, that's what he's saying here. Prido vimunchada bindun netrabhyam pushkarekshana. So, Sudama is that devotee. That means, these devotee qualifications what Krishna has spoken here, Krishna sees them in Sudama. And that is why he embraced him and he said, and all the qualities, you can see what he is mentioning here. Viraktaha, indriyarteshu, prashandalma jidendriya, right? Control of the senses, totally detached from the world, right? Brahma vitama, knowledge of the Brahman, right? And Krishna sakha, Krishna's friend, right? So, because he is like that, when he entered into Dwarka, Krishna recognized that straight away that some great personality is coming here. And when he saw Sudama from a distance, Krishna came down and embraced him and he felt ecstatic. Krishna felt ecstatic and tears came from Krishna's eyes, right? And then he brought him upstairs, seated him on the throne, washed his feet and took the water from the feet and sprinkled on his head, And then he said to everybody that Dwaraka has been purified by his presence, by Sudama's presence, right? So, Brahmavitama, right? So, you can see here, Krishna saying that Dwaraka got purified because Sudama has come there. And there are examples like that in many, many great devotees, because these verses, the only way you can talk about it is through devotees who had reached that stage before, right? So, you will see, there is in the, you have to read the books of the devotees, what others have written about great personalities, or books that is written by great personalities, like Swami Ramatirtha's books. If you read, you will find so many incidents spoken in that book. And similarly, his time in America, and when he lived in Himalayas, what all he went through at that time. Yeah. About Ramakrishna Vachanamrtam, if you read that, you will find there also instances spoken, Vivekananda's life in that way. When there was a devotee mentioned in there, Naga Mahashaya, famous personality, right? When he was born, they say that the whole Bengal became purified because of his presence, right? And he was such a person that he could discuss with anyone. He could discuss with anyone, and he has given this impression to others that that his words to others, he was such a relief for many people when they met him, right? As a devotee, his nature was, he reached that stage that he will not allow anybody to do any service to himself. Instead, he will do service to everybody else, right? And although he lived in a very difficult conditions as far as his personal life is concerned, right? And but he did not allow anyone to do any help for him, right? Once in one occasion, that his father wanted to go and bathe in Ganga River, who told him, some special day it was, right? So Naga Mahashaya tells him that if our bhakti is proper, Ganga River will come to this house, he said. Right? So father got angry with that. He said that if you got so much bhakti, then why is she not coming here then? He said, and Ganga did come, right? So one day when he wanted to bathe, Ganga River came up from inside, from the house. She came up from the ground, came out, right? So, anything can happen if a bhakti, if a devotee says like that, right? So, there's books written about him, about Naga Mahashaya, right? This, no hate towards anyone, and Maitri Bhavam, the friendship nature, bhakti, Mayarpidam and O Buddhi, Krishna is saying there, right? You can talk about that a lot, but to understand what this means, Mayarpita Manobuddhi, you got to see a pure devotee. You have to see a pure devotee. And only if you have association with a pure devotee, you will understand what all this means, what Krishna is talking about. Only when you see him, a pure devotee, then you start recognizing this, seeing these qualities in him, right? So, so Krishna said that such things is very dear to me. When all these things are coming in a person, these qualifications, Adveshta Sarobhudanam Maitra Karuna Yevacha, Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sugakshami. When you see these things in a person, you can say that Sharanagati is happening in him. That is Sharanagati. Sharanagati's symptoms are this. These are the symptoms, right? So, it is that Sharanagati is called Ananya Bhakti, another word in the Bhagavad Gita. Or when Krishna says, yogakshemam mahamyaham, I'll take care of all his essentials, right? So, yogakshemam mahamyaham, ananya bhakti, sharanagati, all means the same thing at the end, right? So, if it is there, Krishna is saying, he has got bhakti. He has got bhakti. And if it is there, I take care of him. That is Krishna's words on that. If this Sharanagati is there, and if this Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yavacha, if these qualifications are there, Krishna is saying that his yoga kshemam, I will take care of that. So now you understand that that's a qualification for that. That means this Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yavacha Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sugakshami. When Krishna said that, what it means is that Sharanagati has to be there. And when Sharanagati is there, how do you know when he's in Sharanagati? Sharanagati, proof of Sharanagati is these qualifications has come to him. Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yevacha Nirmama Nirahangaram Samadukha Sukhakshami. These are only qualifications, right? So, studying these verses has to be done in the background of other devotees, of great personalities, right? So, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the devotees' experiences in life, and the kind of sadhana they have done, every one of them, right? These things you can find in their life story, history, life history, right? And that is how these things are to be learned, right? So, when you execute with bhakti, you will say abhangam. Abhangam means there is no bhangam. Bhangam means no break, continuously, right? Bhakti sampradayas, all bhakti traditions, there is no angam in the sense that how you experience Krishna in life, there is no interruptions there, right? No break. Sometimes, more than hearing about Krishna's and Krishna's pastimes, when you hear about devotees and devotees' realizations and experiences, right, you will get the feeling that it is possible to get there. When you hear about Krishna, it is more difficult. Because Krishna you will sing in at one level. But when you see, when devotees are experiencing different experiences in life, when you hear about the devotees, at that time we get a little bit more hope in spiritual life. We'll get some hope, right? And you see, it is practical. It can happen in that way, right? Sometimes when you look at the devotees, you can see some of them are struggling more, suffering more than us in life, right? Struggling very hard financially and health-wise and many other problems, right? And in the middle of all that, they were able to realize the truth and experience Krishna within. When you see that, that's a big strength for us. When you see in the life of devotees, when they are able to do that, it's a lot of strength. It gives some strength to us. Rather than when you see the studies and katha in the Bhagavatam, and when you think about it, you start thinking, is it not going to happen to us any time? No. But when you see about the devotees, and you hear about their life in this world, and what they went through, even in the middle of all the problems what they had, they managed to become successful in spiritual life. When you see that, it gives us some hope that it is possible, right? Because we are able to identify with them. And so that is the beauty of studying about devotees rather than only Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, right? So we heard now Bhakti Yogam, what Krishna has spoken, and we realize that in Bhakti, Karmam is a very important thing, right? Karma Yogam, in ignoring Karma Yogam, there is no Bhakti Yogam. There is no Bhakti Yogam. And generally, among the Mahatmas, right, you will notice these things, right? That Bhagavad Gita's influence in them, how Bhagavad Gita has influenced them, right? For example, these great devotees, there's a large tradition of devotees in Maharashtra who came, right? Yeah. So, most of them have followed the famous Bhagavad Gita's commentary, Jnaneshwari, yeah, and Ekanath's Bhagavatam. These are the two books that has influenced them heavily. All the Maharashtra saints who came from Maharashtra, right? So, so here, in order to understand what bhakti is, right, the surubam of bhakti, you have to hear from Krishna, what Krishna has spoken there, right? Krishna is saying here, I like these devotees who have this nature in them. Advaishta sarabhudanam maitra karna evaja nirma monare hangara samadukha sukakshami, right? And santushta sadaram yogi ena alma drida nishchaya may arpita manobuddhir yomal bhakta samay priya. Krishna is saying these are my devotees who have this nature in them, right? So sometimes we say that, oh, Krishna is mine, I'm trying to take Krishna's shelter. But Krishna saying, what Krishna is saying is that if Krishna says to someone, you are mine, then that is the stamp what Krishna puts it on somebody, like he told Uddhava, Sudama and Vinaya, they are mine, he said. So that means Krishna has approved them as devotees, right? So, able to change karmam in such a way and able to execute all the karmam without any selfish motive behind it and without pride, and a devotee who is like that, that's what he is saying here, nirmamam, nirahangaram, samadukha sukakshami. And what is his heart? That is what he is saying here. Advaishta sarvabhudanam, that is his first qualification. He has no dvesham towards anybody in this world. Dvesham means hate towards anyone. Right? So, these verses, these eight verses, is so important in the Bhagavad Gita that in many, many ashrams, they will recite these verses simply for to remind us that this is what bhakti is. You see, bhakti is a very wide subject, isn't it? Because it gets easily misunderstood. Normally what happens is bhakti becomes ritualism. But that is all external. And external things, Krishna has not given much importance. What changes inside, that's what matters to him, right? So, so it is not unusual to recite these eight verses in the ashrams. Right? And because if you keep on hearing these verses, at least some change will happen inside. It's very difficult to change inside. Outside change is much easier. Inside change is more difficult. Outside you can change, but inside how do you change? That's more difficult, right? Because even if you have some hate or dvesham inside, and with towards someone, it gets so difficult to get rid of that from inside, right? And maitraha, Krishna says, thing is that we don't know about many people, how they are, right? And if you have no vyavaharam with someone, the chances of developing hate is less, right? So this samabhava, maitri bhava, which Krishna is saying here, you can see that in the Ramayana, when this happened, Ramachandra says, mitra bhava na sampraptam. In other words, in what happened was, Vibhishana comes to him, to Ramachandra, right? And if you can see the relationship between Ramachandra with Sugriva and Vibhishana, you will see the difference there, right? And Sugriva his relationship with Ramachandra was. Sugriva started Ramachandra as to equal. He is equal to me in that way, right? And that bhavam is not allowed to one to show that bhavam to what Sugriva has shown. It's not allowed, right? And so, for example, if a guru says to a disciple, right, that you and me are one, right? So if the disciple says, okay, if we are both one, then give me a chair like you, what I'd like to sit on that, he says that's not oneness, that is not Advaitam, right? So from Guru's side, the Maitri Bhavam is there, friendship, right? But from the disciple side, he cannot exhibit that. That is the proper way to understand that. Yeah. So Sugriva did not know all these things, and Sugriva had to pay a heavy price for that because of this, right? Sugriva was in Krishnamogachalam. Anjaneya Swami brings Ramchandra and Lakshmana on the shoulder, brought them in front of him, and put them in front of Sugriva, right? So the way Sugriva received was, Sugriva put a wooden plank for Ramchandra to sit down and told him to sit down. Completely ignored Lakshmana. Completely ignored Lakshmana, right? And he decided in his own mind, him and Rama are on equal level. Lakshmana, that's enough for you. You sit there, wherever you stand. And he stood there. Lakshmana just stood there, right? He didn't give any attention to Lakshmana. He didn't give, right? So, in other words, Anjaneya was there at that time, right? So, like in the modern days, like you do, he introduced, isn't it? Here, introduction. Nowadays, it's like that. You introduce somebody to someone. So, introduced Ramachandra to Sugriva, and so when he introduced, he offered the wooden plank for him to sit there on that, right? And Lakshmana, he stood there and he shook hands with Lakshmana and didn't bother about him at all, right? Anyway, that was their system at that time. And then Sugriva speaks to Ramachandra about these problems, right? And then the relationship developed between Ramachandra and Sugriva in that way. But because he ignored the Lakshmana, didn't show the proper courtesy to Lakshmana, the result was that he received a lot of pain from Bali because of that. Because he ignored Lakshmana, and because Ramachandra realized that this is the only way he's going to change. Because Sugriva's nature was like that. You compare with Sugriva and Anjaneya, how their behavior was, right? Anjaneya was devotee. Everything what Rama says, he will take, make sure 100% is followed, right? So, due to Bali's beating, because Bali gave him plenty, smashed him down, right? All his ego is gone. And finally comes and falls at his feet, Ramchandra's feet, right? So what did Rama say to him? Offer your obeisances to Lakshmana, he said. The very Lakshmana, when he came first time, Sugriva didn't have that thinking that way. He thought him and Rama are equal, Lakshmana is not important, ignore Lakshmana. So just shows that bhakti has not developed in Sugriva properly. Proper bhakti hasn't come, right? So, and then offered Lakshmana after that a seat for Lakshmana to sit, right? And so these are things you will notice in Ramayanam, among the relationship between different personalities, and you can see that how Ramachandra, Krishna, how they see Maitri Bhavam in a devotee, right? So, you can, this kind of incidents always happens. The only way to understand this verse is to study the life of devotees. is to study the life of devotees. There is no other way to understand what these verses mean. Whether it is Lord Shiva's devotees, Krishna's devotees, devotees are devotees wherever they are, right? So you heard about Jnanasambandha, haven't you? Jnanasambandha's story, famous story that is, right? A little boy, 4 or 5 years old, didn't live very long in this world. Acharya Swamiji mentions about him, Dravida Shishu, he says that. Jnanasambandha meets up with a very, very old person. Trinavakasha, what's his name? They meet up together. He was about 80 years old. Jnanasambandha was about 3-4 years old at that time. When they met up each other, the situation at that time was really disturbing, in the sense that the kings were all converted to Jainism. The Jain religion has taken over everywhere. And the impact was the Vedam was rejected. Vedic knowledge was rejected, right? So, due to the prayers from great devotees, Jnanasambandha comes. And we were at that temple when we went there, where Jnanasambandha and his father comes to bathe in that temple tank in Shirghari, right? So, father went to bathe, left the child on the steps, till he finishes bathing to come back. When he comes back, he sees the drops of milk dripping from his lips. So father got very upset, because there were Brahmanas who followed very strict about their rules and regulations. They were very particular about it. So he felt that somebody has fed some milk to the child, and he was upset about that. Somebody fed something who should not have fed him, right? So he is asking the child, who gave you this milk? And the child points out to the top of the tower there and says, and explains Lord Shiva's form to the father. And the boy described a person, a human form. A human form was shown to him and talks about Lord Shiva's form with the matted hair, the moon on the head, wearing a deer skin and things like that, right? That description was given. And then says that I was fed with the mother gave me the milk, says, referring to Sri Parvati, right? So, not bottle milk, from the breast milk, right? So, so description was about a male form, and then spoke about the feeding the milk as well. And she could say, he couldn't say that it was mother or father. Anyway, father was very pleased when he heard the description. He realized that Shiva has come with Sri Parvati and fed the milk to the child, right? And then he took the child and started dancing with the child, right? So, if you look back to the history at that time, what happened was, that four years old, that child, right? And it was a special birth itself, right? And he decided to come and speak to the king to bring him back into the Vedic fold again. Because they were all traditionally devotees of Shiva, but due to the influence of Jainism, they all converted themselves to Jainism. So this kind of problems is always happening. It's not now it's happening. It's always been throughout the history, right? And so somehow the Krishna's arrangement that there was a palanquin for the child to travel to the palace, right? And he knew that he had a very short span of life. By 16 years he was left this world. So before that he has to finish everything what he had to do in this world, right? And Meanwhile, the other older person, Trinavakar, she is already has been propagating bhakti in villages and other people, right? But he was very old person, he was 80 years old, fully ripe fruit he was, right? And our Janasambandar, young boy, 4 or 5 years old, he brings him in his palanquin to the palace, right? And on the way he meets up with this Trinavakarashya, this old person, right? And he addressed this 5-year-old child, addresses him, right? And they had a conversation among themselves, right? So, the older person offers obeisances to him, to this little boy, 8-year-old person, offers obeisances to this 5-year-old child, right? So, the little child addressed him in such a way that was sufficient for the older person, that he felt that he has been recognized as a devotee. Jnanasambandar addressed him in such a way that he gave the impression to him that he got, because this child is an incarnation of Shiva's appearance, right? And so the older person offers obeisances to him, and pure bhakti you could see in that relationship, right? They embrace together, the 5-year-old child, this 8-year-old person, they are embracing together. And then they together travels all around, and finally the king comes back into the Vedic tradition again. Who are converted ones, they come back again, right? So you can understand that the bhakti among the devotees, how they relate to each other. From them you have to learn these things. You can observe these things and realize this is what bhakti means, right? So, in Ramayanam, Ramachandra called Sugriva, calls him Mitram, right? So, Sugriva also considered, I am also his friend in that way. Sugriva took it like that, right? But when Vibhishana comes into the scene, now Anjaneya Swami, Sugriva, Lakshmana and Ramachandra have seen Krishimugajalam, what happened between them. When Vibhishana comes for Sharanagadi, Vibhishana comes to Sharanagadi, right? And Vibhishana gave a lot of advice to Ravana before he parted with him, right? So Ravana wouldn't hear anything, won't accept anything, right? So Vibhishana realized that nothing much I can do with Ravana anymore. I have told him everything, but he is not willing to listen. So therefore, he gave up everything and came to Ramachandra for shelter, right? So if he goes back, Ravana will kill him. If he goes back, Ravana will kill him, because he has said goodbye and come back from there. So it is in that situation that Vibhishana has surrendered, that he cannot go back anymore. He has come like that, right? So at that time, Ramachandra looks at Vibhishana and says that Mitra Bhavena Sampraptau. He says, if somebody comes to me with maitri, friendship, he says, I will not give up on him. I will accept him. Mitra Bhavena Sampraptau. Vibhishana has come to me in that way. There is no question of me giving up, right? Under any circumstances, right? No matter how much faults he has in him, right? The moment he says to me, surrenders to me, Ramachandra says, he is mine then. This is Ramachandra's approach, right? So he accepted Vibhishana in that way. So strictly speaking, Krishna's approach is also same way, that with every jiva, the relationship is maitri, mitra bhava, right? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that, isn't it, right? So, the best bhavamitis, right? Suhradam sarvabhudana nyatvamam shanti mrachadi. Isn't it? Krishna says that. Suhradam sarvabhudana. So, Krishna's relationship with everyone is suhradam, friendship, right? And one who knows that, he will have shanti. Krishna is saying that. That Krishna is with us always, and Sukrat. And Bhagavatam mentions that, another point in the fourth canto, avijñāta sakhāva. In the Puranjana Bhakhyanam, you will see that word used here. Avijñāta sakhāva. Avijñāta sakhāva means, one who is accompanying with us all the time as a friend, but unknown to us. Andaryami, Krishna. He is addressed as avijñāta sakhāva. Avijñāta sakhāva means, we don't know him, he knows us, and he is with us all the time. Avijñāta sakhāva, right? So, this sauhrada bhavam, this sur bhavam, right? You will see in a devotee towards all living entities, maitri bhavam, right? Ramatirtha, Swami Ramatirtha, when he went to America that time, right? Vivekananda went in 1893. And in 1896, he comes back, right? When he came to, he came by ship. That time, there was no airplanes. Everyone was flying. The flying was not possible. Ship was taking 4 months, 5 months to come back, right? So, in 1896, September, he gets back to, comes by ship, and comes to Rameshwaram. That's where he landed at the end, right? And on the 1st of September, I'm just saying the time. You know, to study these things, you got to know the history also. Otherwise, it's very difficult because there is a historical background in all these things. That was a time. Then Ramana Maharshi was there. He came to Tiruvannamalai from Madhura at that time, on the 1st of September, right? So, Ramatirtha, Swami Ramatirtha, he goes to America in 1901, right? To America he went, right? So, he went there as a sannyasi from here, and Chinmayananda talks about that, about Vivekananda Ramatirtha's trip, about that, he says there, that he said that when he was formerly a sannyasi, nobody respected him. But when he went to the West and came back, everyone is offering respects. This is the way things are. As you are a sannyasi in India, no one cares. But when you go to the West and comes back, with the loads of disciples and everything, people start thinking he must be a very great personality, right? So, so Vivekananda went to West and came back, right? And it was a big event at that time, what happened with his return from America, right? You know, India was not independent, and there were strong feelings all over the nation about British ruling India and to become free from the, for independence, fight for independence, right? So, the whole country was going through a very, boiling situation. At that time, all over the country, people were very fired up about independence movement, right? Anyway, he comes, Vivekananda arrives there in Rameshwaram, and from there, he comes to to the mainland, and the place where he landed, it's all now properly earmarked where he landed and all that thing, right? So the king of Ramanad goes to see him there. He became so famous, Rabbi Vivekananda at that time became so famous, right? And and because Vivekananda shaken the whole world by his lecture in Chicago, and these big religions, what they were talking about, their meetings, by his lectures in those few days, he made them realize there is such a higher knowledge available from the Vedic traditions. And he succeeded in doing that in a few days' lectures there. He spoke about Raja Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Jnana Yogam, everything in such a way, powerful way, that you see, you have to read the books only, then you will understand the impact of that, what they had at that time. Whereas the other people, they were still discussing their basic religions in life. Vivekananda was not talking about religion. Vivekananda had no faith in religion himself. He was more interested in speaking about the truth. And he presented the truth so well that they started opening their own eyes that how far they are from the knowledge what Vivekananda has presented there, right? So because of all that, he was received very well when he came back, right? And it is a whole history of a great culture that, and when he landed, that the king of Ramanad, that province at that time, he goes there and offers obeisances to Vivekananda, right? And he told him that you put your feet on my head and bless me. The king saying to him, to Vivekananda, right? So Swamiji told him, is that Vivekananda was very well grounded on that. He said to him that to put the head on a king is against the law. Shastram doesn't allow that. King is a representation of Krishna. So, and it is Krishna's presence is there in the head of the king. And therefore, I am not allowed to do that, he said to him. And then they put him in a chariot-like thing and they dragged him. The king was pulling the cart with other servants together, and in a procession they took Vivekananda from there. This whole history is there, right? And so, what do we understand from all this is that the spiritual knowledge and spiritual conquering is proper conquering. All the other things, what you see in this world, right? And that doesn't mean much. If you have to influence people, you have to influence through their heart. If you influence them forcefully by attacking another country, or if you subdue another country, nation, or all these things, it won't last, it won't stay. Whereas the Rishi's approach was always, that is why in Vedic tradition you don't see, you go on converting people by conquering a land. It was never done. And you can observe that in our history also. You can see when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came that time, the Islamic conversion was going on forcefully everywhere. Forcefully everywhere they were converting people. Forcefully they were doing that, right? Even it has gone to the extent that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were converted. Converted in the sense that they have become like Muslims. They were living with them. So, they, instead of fighting that, you can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to them. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a meeting with that Kasi and their discussions and all. If you observe that, the approach is always through knowledge if you can change others. That is effective. Otherwise, it's not effective. So, when they wanted to do that, great personalities appeared all the time like that. And they did what they wanted to do. In other words, you could see that Mahaprabhu's mercy helped, of course, the Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they got the benefit from that. And they were able to come back to the Vedic tradition again. And they were able to leave because within their heart they had that vasana for spiritual life strongly. And with Mahaprabhu gave the impetus for that to leave back and come back to the Vedic traditions, and they gave that mercy to the world in the form of the literature what they have produced, right? So the thing to understand here is this, that Vedic knowledge spreads through the power of knowledge only, not through the sword, not through conversion, other means. It's never done that way. Anything that is done in that way will not last very long. That's the way it is. Now, if you look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, what happened, which was about 500 years to 550 years back, what happened. It was the Muslim invasion that has resulted in that way. Mahaprabhu's appearance, and when Advaita Acharya prayed for Krishna to come to do something, and then it comes in the form Mahaprabhu comes and did all that what he did, right? Much later, it was Islamic conversion that time, the problem. Christian conversion became the problem during the British times. They opened up colleges, schools, they smashed the whole Gurukula system of education and introduced this modern system of schools and colleges, and through that they started influencing the Vedic culture. And as they planned in their own way, I mean, what they did, they had done what they did, the education system was such that the higher class means mainly referring to Brahmanas, they were converted to Christianity. That was what was happening in Vivekananda's time and even in Prabhupada's time. Before independence, say from 1900 to 1947 period, if you look at it, what do you find in the history is the strong power of Christian missionaries' work combined with this education system what they introduced together, they were able to convince the Brahmanas of the society, Hindu society, able to leave their faith in the Vedic culture. Rajaram Mohan Roy, Keshav Chandra Sen, there were so many other leaders. If you read the history, you will understand the background of all these things. You shouldn't just take some books, one book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and start thinking that this is all some divine arrangement happened like that. You also have to look back into the historical background of the situation. So when Vivekananda comes back after his speech in Chicago and come back, you could see the overall situation. India was like this. India is not independent then. These personalities have more or less gone into Christian influences, Christianic tradition, Christian traditions, right? And they were trying to promote not Vedic culture as such, a mixture of both. They have mixed their Vedic traditions with the Christian traditions, and they were trying to create, that is how this Brahma Samajam has come into. Rajaram Mohan Roy's Brahma Samajam has come. And they were becoming more and more influential everywhere. So, with Vivekananda coming back, Vivekananda spoke a lot of things and he criticized Christianity heavily. Totally against what Keshav Chandra Sen and Rajaram Mohan Roy was doing. And even Tagore's father, Devendranath Tagore, they were also part of that, right? And their way of doing was that if you follow their traditions, and then you will be awarded with Nobel Prize and all other things, whatever they have the tools in their hand. So you can see from what happened, right? So Vivekananda comes back, and then when by train, there was a train available from Rameshwaram all the way to Calcutta. He goes there, right? And there he meets, by the time Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is gone from this world, right? Sharada Devi was there in Belu Matham, right? And he's going to see her. Vivekananda goes to see her, right? And he's going by a boat to there. This is a different place, away from Belumat, right? There was another brahmachari by name Hari Prasanna with him. And there was a reason why Vivekananda took him with him to go to see this Sharada Devi. Paramahamsa has given different instructions to different disciples. Generally, there is some instructions for everyone, but personal instruction will be there to different disciples, right? According to their swabhava, prakriti, right? The instruction he gave to this brahmachari, Hari Prasanna, was that he should stay far away from the women always. Never get closely associated with women, right? So, jokingly, the other sannyasis and brahmacharis in the ashram will say like this, that even a female mosquito won't go anywhere near to him. To such an extent, he was so strict, because that was instruction given to him, right? So when Vivekananda wanted to go and see Sharada Devi, this Hariprasanna Brahmachari was hesitant to go, because that was the instruction to him. And deliberately, but everyone was frightened of Vivekananda. Vivekananda was like that. He was very on fire always, right? And so when Vivekananda told Hariprasanna to come with him, that I'm going to see Mother Sharada Devi, and you should come with him, he said. So they together, they traveled by this boat together. Hariprasanna and Vivekananda goes in a boat together to see Sharada Devi in the ashram there, right? So while they were traveling, Vivekananda, what he was doing was, right, now and then he will take Ganga water and put it on his head. All the time he was doing this, Ganga water. Sometimes he was taking Ganga water and he was drinking that as well, right? So Hariprasanna noticed this, Vivekananda doing this all the time, right? And when he was doing this, he was saying Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva, he was saying this. And so Hariprasanna asked him, what are you doing? Vivekananda says to him, I'm just trying to purify myself, he said. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said, Vivekananda is so strong that he won't be affected by any impurities. Ramakrishna has spoken about Vivekananda to others like that. He will never be affected by any impurities, right? So Vivekananda's reply was that we are going to see Mother Sharada Devi. She is Jagadambiya, right? And I have gone to the Western world and wandered around there for the last few years. Who knows what kind of impurities have got inside me? So you can see how Vivekananda thought about the West. He says there that even though you may be very pure, but due to bad association, how much impurities can get inside and how impure you can become without you being knowledgeable about it. You are not even conscious of that. He says, I am doing this to purify myself from that. Vivekananda was very conscious of all these things, right? So when I'm going to see my mother, Sharada Devi, I should be a little pure, I shouldn't be impure myself. In that way, he gave these instructions, and it was actually an instruction to Hariprasanna and telling him that you have to become free from that instruction, what Guru has given to you. And together they go there after taking this Ganga river so many times, and then they go to see Sharada Devi, right? And Hariprasanna in due course of time became a great devotee of Sharada Devi. So when, up to that time, he only used to think about Sharada Devi as though the wife of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, in that way. But after meeting Sharada Devi with Vivekananda, he realized that what an elevated position she had spiritually, right? Her knowledge, her tapasya, her realizations, all this, and her purity. Seeing all that, Hariprasanna was completely, you know, surrendered to her by total Sharanagati, right? So, the reason why saying this was that to remain as a good sannyasi properly in the Western world is very difficult. It is very difficult, right? So, Ramatirtha talks about that. He went to Japan, from Japan, and he go from there, there was supposed to be a meeting, it didn't happen. And then somebody told him that he should go to America, and they put him in a ship there from there. He had nothing with him, no money, just one cloth bag, and he's going like that, right? And he spent a lot of his time in Himalayas later, as Avadhuta, in Tehri, right? And his meeting with Vivekananda before that has made him a sannyasi. That's how he becomes a sannyasi, right? Prior to that, he was a grihastha, householder he was. Now, he comes, he was born in the family of Tulsidas, who wrote Ramayana, right? Tulsidas Ramayana, right? Punjabi Brahmana family they are. It is from Punjabi Brahmana family, Tulsidas family, that Ramathirtha was born, right? So, and he was born in Karachi. At that time there was no Pakistan, is it not? Karachi, right? And at a very early age in life, he was married. And he was a mathematics professor in the university there in Karachi. Right? After meeting him with Vivekananda, he took sannyasam from him. And then he went to Tehri and Ganga River Bank. That is when somebody encouraged him to go to the West to talk. Because he was a very learned and realized person, right? He never worried about life in this world. So courageous he was, right? And they arranged a journey for him to travel from Calcutta to Japan. And they were started raising funds for him. They said that Vivekananda gone without money and he suffered heavily and all these kind of things, right? Vivekananda wrote at that time some letters to Ramakrishna Matham. And in that letter he said, Vivekananda said, here you can't even take bhiksha. If you ask for bhiksha, people think that you are a beggar and they do not like it, people begging, right? So, these things were known to people and they were saying to Swami Ramathirtha that you should take some money with you because going there, right? Ramathirtha says, Yogakshemam Mahamyaham, Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Is that not valid anymore? That was his answer. So you see the spiritual strength in some people. He's saying that Yogakshema Mahamiham is not valid anymore, he said. That's sannyasam strength inside, right? So, anyway, he traveled 40 days it took for him. And similar situation you can see. Properly realized people, they'll be very mature, they'll be fearless. You can see how Prabhupada traveled, is it not? No fear inside. At that age, to make that journey, at the age of 70, right? So, when he arrived in America, what happened was, he came out from the ship, and he has this cloth bag on his shoulder. No other luggage, right? And he's standing there and looking at everybody. So one person asked him, sir, where are you going? His answer was, Rama doesn't know where he's going, he says. That was his answer, right? Are you getting down here? He said, yes. What about the luggage? No luggage. Got money? He says, Rama carries no money, he says. Very courageously he's answering that. Then, who will take care when you are here? He said, because he was coming out of the ship, isn't it? No answer. Got friends? He asked him. The man who asked him this at the customs or something. He says, yes, many, he said. Ramathirtha is saying, I got many friends, he says. Who is that? You, he said. And he goes with him and he looked after him for 2 years, seeing this sannyasi. He looked after him for 2 years, right? So, what I'm saying is that a sannyasi who has reached that stage, that's what Krishna is referring to. Sukhrutam sarvabhudanam nyatvamam shanti murchadi. A sannyasi in that stage, he does not differentiate between one to another. He is able to see everyone on a spiritual platform. Yeah. So strictly speaking, only Krishna is the friend, right? But come to that realization, what Ramathirtha had, and that faith in Krishna was so strong, that Sohradam Sarvabhudanam, he accepted that 100% without any, doubts about that. When Krishna says that, when Shiva Brahmarshi mentions that in the Bhagavadam, Krishna Syasil Sakha Kaschil Brahmano Brahma Vittama, right, about Sudama, right? One who has taken shelter of Krishna in that way, he is what Krishna says as Sukrat. That Maitri Bhava he is talking about, right? Then Karunyam, he said, which is a quality what you see in Mahatmas, right? Ordinary people, what Karunyam can we show to others? But sometimes that Karunyam works through some people, and Maitra Karuna Yevacha, Murmama. So Bhagavatam says, for a devotee, there is nothing mine and yours. That feeling is not there for a devotee. Mamata Ahanda is not there. And if Mamata goes away, it is difficult to live in this world. Right? And Vyavaharam becomes very difficult. So, Nirmama. So that is why in the Bhagavatam you will see that when we talked about Bhagavat devotees, if you look at the 11th canto, in the second chapter, when Navayogi Samvadam happens, Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, it's mentioned there that the 52nd verse in the 11th canto, in the second chapter, 52nd verse, yeah? Na yasya swa para idi vite shvalpani va bhida sarva bhuta samashanda savai bhagavadottama. Pure devotees' qualifications, right? Pure devotees' qualifications are this. Na yasya, he does not think anything is mine or it belongs to somebody. Na yasya swa para idi viteshu alpani va bhida, everything belongs to Krishna. That realization, not through the lips only, in his dealings with the world, right? So, in order to stay like that, to be in that state, attachment has to go first. So, if you lose all your attachment to this world, only then this can happen, right? Only then this can happen. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, to make us understand that statement, Srinarada Maharshi mentioned the same thing while talking about Varnashrama Dharma. If you look at the 14th chapter of Varnashrama Dharma, you will mention, see, Srinarada Maharshi is saying there, yeah, sarvam achyuta nirmidam divyam bhaumam cha antariksham. 14th verse, 7:14:7. If you look, divyam bhaumam cha antariksham vittam achyuta nirmidam, he's saying there. See that achyuta nirmidam, everything is Krishna's. Yeah. So when we talk about these things, these qualifications, what Krishna has spoken about the devotees, you got to look back into what Krishna is saying in the Ekadasha Skandam and what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita as well. And you have to connect that with the devotees who have realized that in their life, right? So, he mentions there that mamata means possession of something. I have attachment to something and I possess that. Ahanda mamata, right? The rule, he says, there is a rule that controls that. What is that rule? He says, as much as necessary for filling the belly, hunger is concerned, to that extent you have a right to possess things in this world. That much. What is required for the belly, to that you can have the attachment. There finished the attachment. Nothing after that. Right? So that is why in the next verse he said, 8th verse, Srinarada Maharshi said, Yaval Priyeda Jataram, Taval Sattvam Hi Dehinam, Adhyam Yo Abhimanyeda Sasteno Dandamarkadi. Anything who thinks more than that as his is a thief. It's a thief, he's saying, right? So, and then in that case, he should be punished. This is the rule, right? Dandamarhadi. Everybody has a right to possess things as far as food is concerned. And he has got a right to ask for food when he is hungry, but all other wealth, what one possesses in the so-called wealth one possesses, which has come through prarabdham. You may wonder sometimes, some rich people become so much wealthy, right? Do you think it's because of their management or their business nature that it has come? No. It has come due to prarabdham. Wealth comes to them, even if they don't want it. It comes, right? But because people don't understand the principle behind all these things, similarly, any wealth what comes to us in life is due to prarabdham in that way, right? So, so up to the extent of having food, that much you can possess things, or you can get attached to the food, what is necessary for maintaining the body. But it finishes there. You don't have any more right to get attached to anything else in this world. So, due to prarabdham, if wealth comes or wealth goes away, either way it can happen, right? What he is saying here is that yaval briyeda jataram taval satum hi dehinam adhyam yobhimanyeda nastasteno dandamarhadi. He is subject to punishment. So, Krishna is saying, a devotee is like that. He is saying that, yeah, he doesn't possess anything of his own. And if he is taking something, he is not thinking that he has got it. He has used Krishna's property for something. And if something leaves him, he is not concerned, right? So, there were so many interesting stories about it to make us understand all this principle, what Krishna is saying here, right? When he said this, that sandushta satatam yogi yadalkma dridanishchaya may arpita manobuddhi yomal bhakta samay priyaha. Krishna's point is that there is a history about that. There was one great personality who used to travel from village to village and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to the devotees, right? So then he had program in one place, people will come and give him clothes, fruits and different things, right? And they used to travel by bullock those days from one place to another, right? So in one village, when he has collected all the things were given to him, he'll put it in the cart and they will go to the next village. When you get to the next village, there is nothing in the bullock cart. Everything is gone. So what he used to do, that on the way from village to village, there was forest they have to go through sometimes, right? And he used to dig a hole and put everything in that pit, and then he will travel empty to the next place, right? So people used to ask him that, why don't you give it to somebody? He said, what if you don't want it, right? So he used to say, his answer was that, I've left it for anyone who can come and take it, whatever they want, right? In that way, nobody will know that I have given this to somebody. And otherwise, if I start giving things, people distributing things myself, right, that will become another responsibility on my head. He didn't want that. Then people will start coming up, asking, queuing up for things. And if I don't give them, then they will get upset with me. So then I'll have to ask others for help. That all becomes a problem. And my approach is that things are coming. I have left it there. Anybody can take it, whoever they want it, right? So, so these are examples to tell us that how Mahatmas looked at wealth. That was their way of looking at wealth, right? According to prarabdham, whatever has to come in life, it will come. And if you are meant to suffer poverty in life, according to prarabdham, you will suffer. You know, that's how wealth is. Wealth is not purely dependent on your how smart you are or clever you are. It is prarabdham that brings the wealth, and prarabdham can also put you in poverty. Either way, it can happen, right? So this is what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam. When he's saying these verses, you have to read through Krishna's point, what he's trying to bring it to us, right? This conversation between Krishna and Sudama, in the Bhagavatam, if you look at it, you will see that Krishna is wealthy, Sudama is extremely poor, isn't it? Krishna is extremely wealthy and Sudama is extremely poor. And when they were discussing each other, Krishna is saying to Sudama, some people will be like you in poverty all the time, right? And some people will be like me with a lot of wealth always, right? But both of us have got tattva-jnana, knowledge of the self. Therefore, we are not affected by that. Look at, see how Krishna relates with Sudama. Krishna is saying to Sudama that you are extremely poor. That's your situation is like that. My situation is like this. Both are prarabdham, Krishna is saying. Yeah? And both of us are in shanti state. Because in realization wise, you realize who you are, I realize who I am. And that is important. Yeah? Dijo vijnana vijnayam tamasaparam asmude. Famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Dijo vijnana vijnayam tamasaparam asmude. One who has transcended ignorance, avidya, who has moved away from the effect of wealth and all other things of this world, who has come to completely to the spiritual platform, this is their state. Whether they are wealthy or poor, it doesn't matter to them anymore. Bhagavatam is teaching us these things to understand that spiritual life is beyond all this wealth and other things what we consider important in this world. Their attachment for wealth is completely gone. And they don't consider wealth anymore. Wealth, as far as they are concerned, its prarabdham comes. And that's the point they are making here. That Krishna was very wealthy, Sudama was very poor. But consciousness-wise, Krishna and Sudama are same. They are in the same state of consciousness. Dijo vijnana vijnayam, he says, Dijo vijnana vijnayam, tamasaparam asnude. They have transcended that influence of the modes of nature. Tamasa paramasmade. Right? So, once you have known what is to be known, once you have known what is to be known, whether it is Sudama or whether it is Ambarish, another example in the Bhagavatam. Very wealthy king, about Ambarish if you read, at the same time Mahabhagavatam. Ambarish is addressed like that, Mahabhagavatam. Most wealthy person, right? So whether it is so in Bhagavatam you will find all these contradictions, is it not? Sudama extremely poor, Ambarish extremely wealthy, but both are self-realized. Both are self-realized. Yeah. So you can't say, but because of this, you can't say everything in one who is poverty is always they are all sadhus, right? But normally in the mundane world, when people don't have much wealth, when they are very poor, right, they feel an inferiority complex. So I don't have much money. Feel a little bit inferior that way, right? And some of them may feel a little bit anger, hate towards wealthy people. Normally in the mundane society, this happens, right? So they have got that dvesham inside when there are very poor people. Similarly, wealthy people, they have also got problems when they have a lot of wealth, right? And they look at this way, that they have acquired so much wealth in this world, so they should be respected and they want to be recognized and things like that. So many things comes along with that, right? So what Bhagavatam is trying to tell us is that wealth or poverty on its own does not make anyone different in any way. The beauty of anyone's life is internal spiritual development. Internally, if he develops this quality, nirmama, nirahangaram, what Krishna is saying here, mamata, abhimanam, all these things goes away, and bhakti develops in a heart, and sharanagari, when that happens, what has happened to someone, right? That's what makes that person great. Not the wealth, not the poverty, either of them, right? And you can see this among those personalities in the devotees in Maharashtra, we're talking about Tukaram and others, right? If you go back and read their history, you will find it interesting, right? Everybody knows Tukaram's story, isn't it? He was struggling at the end with poverty, but he is not from a poor family, comes from a rich family, right? But he had so much wealth, right? What happened was, there was a famine-like situation developed at that time in Maharashtra, right? And Tukaram's family, they were financiers. You know, in them, banking system was different, not like today. Today is more complicated. But in them days, wealthy people will lend you money. And then what you do is, you write down a paper, it's called a promissory note. Pro note they call it. Promissory note. And you give in writing that I borrowed you so much money from you and I'll pay you back within so much time, with interest, everything. Amount and all it's specified in that. Just a paper, write it and give it. That's all it was. And it was that much faith they had each other. Normally people followed that system. But when this drought happened and famine and all happened at that time, a lot of people lost their life, lost their wealth, everything. People became very, very poor, right? So most of the people who are given this promissory note, nobody returned anything. No money came back, right? So what Tukaram's family, what they did was, they took all this promissory note, put it in the waste paper basket and set fire to the whole thing and threw it away, everything. And Tukaram comes from that family. They had so much of wealth. But to do this, they knew what others are suffering through, their poverty and their material situations, right? So what happened then? They became poor. Tukaram became poor because of this. They had wealth, but all the wealth was lost in the process. Like, that's how he became poor, right? So, he knows what suffering means in this world. Poverty means, right? So, in the same parampara, also, the same traditions, Eganath Swami also appeared, right? Eganath Swami was also, had a lot of wealth, right? And, but a devotee. Best example is him, right? But no possession of anything. He doesn't possess anything. No attachment to anything, right? No mamata. And what Krishna is saying here, sotvam, that I think that something is mine, that feeling he never had. Always established in knowledge, jnana nishtha. And he's a shanta bhakta, so very peaceful within, right? And no emotions or ecstatically trying to excitement or anything in him. Very peaceful within, always. If you look at Eganath Swami, you will remember that Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. That Sthita Prajnatvam you will see in him. Right? So, with Jnanam, Bhakti, and Nirmamam, Nirahangaram, what Krishna is saying there, no Mamada, no Ahanda, Sukham, Dukham, accepting everything equally, right? Samadukha, Sukhakshami. So, Dukham and Sukham, that Samabhavam, you will notice in him, in Eganath Swami, right? So, when sufferings comes in life, troubles comes in life, able to accept it as prarabdham. That capacity he had strongly, right? people misunderstand sometimes that when self-realization happens, suppose if I pinch your body, if you are self-realized, you won't feel the pain. You may think like that. That's not how self-realization is, right? So, suppose, often people ask like that, right? And when ordinary people, I'm saying, when you don't know about self-realization, you go to Mahatmas and you have an impression in your mind about them, thinking that they don't feel pain in the body and things like that. One person went to Ramana Maharshi and asked him that Ramana Maharshi had cancer. And he said, do you feel any pain from that? Why? I feel the pain as much as anybody else is feeling the pain, right? In fact, he said that I feel 1,000 times more, just like a scorpion has bit me in that way, right? Then how are you able to tolerate? He said to him. Maharshi told him that I just tolerated. He said, you see, what he is trying to say is that what Krishna has given us, what Krishna has given everybody this, right? What is that? To tolerate things in life, inconveniences, right? Particularly, when we are put into difficulties, we get disturbed over situations like that. Krishna says that you have to accept it as my prasadam when suffering comes. And that is what he is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Matrasparshastu kaundeya shidoshna sugadukhada agam avayina anityam tam tidikshasu bharada. So this sahana shakti, capacity to accept suffering in life, is a spiritual qualification. As much as possible, one can develop the capacity to accept suffering without complaining. Krishna says you will grow spiritually. Otherwise you won't. It is a mandatory requirement, tidiksha, tolerating the inconveniences in life. In different ways it can come. Health-wise, you could become put into very difficult situations, but able to accept it as Krishna wants it that way, and that is why this has happened, and able to accept it that way. That is the devotee's approach. So, Tyagaraja Swamiji says to Ramachandra this, right? You have accepted everything. I offered you flowers. I have offered you so many different naivedyam, sweet rice, everything, right? You have accepted all my worship, right? And you have put me into this situation. And when I tell you I am suffering because of all what you have given, Ramachandra told Tyagaraja, just tolerate it, he says. Tyagaraja Swami says this in his kirtana. That this was Ramchandra's reply. So all devotees are like that. Tidiksha Subharada. Tidiksha, that qualification, right? So you can see when Bhagavad Gita began, the first qualification and the first instruction from Krishna to Arjuna is this tidiksha, to tolerate things, whatever comes in life, right? Heat and cold, happiness and distress, right? Because all those things are related to, Krishna is saying, is related to mind and the body, nothing to do with the soul. That's the reason behind that. Yeah. So if we want to move to the spiritual platform, we have to become free from the platform of the body and the mind. It's understandable. Isn't it? You see, what they are trying to tell us is, the rishis, and Krishna also in the Bhagavad Gita is, as long as you are connected to the body unnecessarily, and unless you learn the art of disconnecting from the body, spiritual realization is not possible. As I said this morning, karma is the most powerful thing in our body, in person, right? Karma is present inside us in the form of vasana. And that will start working as soon as you are in this world. So if you feed this karma unnecessarily and make this as a big priority in life, karma as a big priority in life, your bodily identity without your knowledge will increase day by day. This is the problem with the karma, and that is why rishis and the shastram is constantly telling us you have to learn the art of coming out of this karma, how it is binding you. All science around karma is developed because of this only. That self-realization is not possible as long as you are very much attached to karma. It is difficult, right? So, you can understand that these things, we will talk about it after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam maumaha davagnim ruvapanam shrayakai davachandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jeevanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purnamrata swadhanam sarvapta supanam varam vijayade Shri Krishna Sangeertanam Namnamagari bahudanija sarva shakti tatrarpidane mirasmarneena kala etadushitava kripa bhagavan mamabi durdaiva medrashamihajani nanujaga Tanarabhishuni jaino tarorabhi sahishpuna amaninamana dena kirtaniya sadahaye Nathanam nathanam nathundarim kavidamva jagadishakamahe Mama janmani janmani shari bhavadar bhaktira hai dugitvai Aye nanda tarujya kingaram paditamam shamei vambudu Sapaya tovada pangajasthita duri Sadusham vichindaya Nayanam kada shudharaya padanam gadgadrukdhaya Gira pulagar nijitam gadavabu Tava namagrahane bhavishyadi Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam Govinda virahenami Ashleshava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam kaduva Yatha tadava vidadha tulambado valpranatha sumayevana para Sarvatra govinda nama sangeertanam govinda govinda So, Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yevacha Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sukha Kshami. You say that Kshami, Samadukha Sukha Kshami. Same what Krishna said in the beginning. Matras Prashastu Kaundeya Shitoshna Sukadukhada Agama Paino Anityam Tam Tidiksha Subharada. That Tidiksha, what he is saying there. So, all of that is related to the mind and the body, isn't it? Mind and the body. Nothing will be permanent here, and one will have to tolerate this. What comes and what goes, that is spiritual understanding. And you can see when you go to different places, weather conditions change, and after some time you get acclimatized to the weather. But similarly, when distress comes in life, not saying to anyone about it, and able to accept it and swallow it without complaining to anyone about it, right? Sometimes people think that there is some technique by which you can feel yourself free from that meditation process or something. But if you go into that, then you have to suffer from the meditation also. Some problem, right? So, therefore, this capacity Krishna has given us actually, and that's what's called kripa. Krishna's mercy means this. This is Krishna's mercy given to us to tolerate the inconveniences and sufferings in life. And that power, if you don't use it, that power what Krishna has given, if you do not allow that to grow inside, spiritual understanding will be very difficult. Spiritual understanding is able to change our nature, our capacity to suffer, our capacity to tolerate things in life. Yeah. So that kripa, that is called kripa. Kripa means the capacity Krishna has given us to accept inconveniences and sufferings in life. When distress comes in life, suffering comes in life, or all other inconveniences in life, heat, cold, happiness, distress, everything, able to swallow it, that, and not to complain about it. And that power in us, Krishna has given to us, that's called kripa. That's called kripa, right? Able to tolerate things, right? And but what happened is that because we gave up that nature, and it got rusted, that quality in us, right? So Krishna said, therefore he has used that word chami, right? And there also he said something positive there. What is that? Santushtaha, right? So when you are tolerating things or sufferings in life, you shouldn't complain, think like that, oh, this is my writing on my head that I have to go through this. Not like that. Santushtaha. Happily able to accept it. These are all qualities in spiritual life. Without all these things, dimly doing a lot of rituals and running here and running there and thinking that I'm making spiritual progress, you're fooling yourself. This is the reality. Reality is this. Krishna is saying here. Santushtaha. Right? So, devotee, Krishna is saying, all sufferings in life, all problems in life, able to accept it, at the same time not affected by it. Right? And Sandushta Satatam Yogi, Krishna says, right? Whatever he gets it, he is happy with that. And and when there is no Sandosham, Krishna says, then there is no bhakti there. And that is a symptom of a devotee. As I mentioned in the beginning of class today, that all these things are not you can cultivate on your own. Through bhakti, when ahankaram withdraws from inside, antaryami's qualities are coming out like this. And that is how you have to understand. So, sometimes people become, they develop bhakti and then they become very serious. And then you ask them, what's the problem with you? They say like that, oh, I'm a devotee now. I can't talk about other things anymore. That's not devotee. That is a, so, and from that day onwards, he has become a devotee. He has become so serious about life that you start feeling sorry for him. Why is he so much suffering in devotee, as a devotee? Devotee is not a big suffer. Devotee must be become happy. But on the other hand, you see that, right? Similarly, somebody starts reading Srimad Bhagavatam, right? And then he is feeling that now that I am reading Bhagavatam and a lot of things in the Bhagavatam, I have to follow now. I have to do that. So, and he feels missing that anandam or happiness, what he has to have. So, bhakti means there is shanti, there is anandam inside, happiness, sandosham inside, right? And so, and Vedam says, Shruti says, that the swarupam of Brahman is satta chitta anandam, isn't it? So, suppose you come to spiritual life and then you are always stressed out and always in anxiety, and there is no anandam, then you have to ask the question, am I in spiritual life then? You are supposed to experience bliss, isn't it? Anandam. Right? So, that means you are taken to Krishna consciousness and then you feel that something has gone wrong somewhere. Right? So, that means that's not bhakti. That's not bhakti. So, that is why Krishna is saying few things there. Santushta Satatam Yogi. He is always in a happy state, right? Yadalma Dradamishaya. What is the reason? For example, you can see small children, when they were sitting in the lap of the father or the mother, they'll be very happy in the lap of the father or mother. Isn't it? When they're small children, right? And when they grow up and when they become very young men, and they become very responsible in this world, right? That happiness is gone from their face. What they had when they were small children in the lap of the father or mother, right? And so, what Krishna's point is that that bhavam inside, you see, bhakti is a difficult thing to understand. As I said this morning, that body, you can do seva. That's all body can do. Body can do seva. Speech can do stuti. Bhavam is in the mind. So bhakti in three places it is in us, in everybody. In the body, in the speech and in the mind. Right? So bhavam, so the body can do seva, that's bhakti for the body. And stuti is for the bhakti for the words. But the bhavam, which is the most important one of all the three, is in the mind. And that is where we have to be more concerned about. Our attention should be on the bhavam inside. Bhavamandalam, right? So, you can see in our life how the bhavam changes. From a little child in the lap of the mother, how happy he was. When he grew up, he has become very serious about life, right? So, Maharaja Parvati Devi, Pita Devo Maheshwara, Bhandava Shivabhaktascha Sudesha Bhuvanatrayam. Sudeho Bhuvanatrayam, right? So, and the same thing in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying to us, Pidaham Asya Jagato, Mada Dhada Pidamaha, Vedyam Pavitram Ongaram Praksami Yajurevacha. And father, grandfather, grandmother, great grandfather, in this way, parambara, it has come. And as many generations, Krishna is saying, I am that. All of that is me. Father, grandfather, grandmother, grandfather, grandmother, great-grandfather, they are all me, Krishna is saying. Pidaham asya jagato, mada dhada pidamaha. So, that sandosham or anandam, what a little child has experienced, you can see sometimes the grandmother or grandfather with a grandchild in that way. And people who have grown up in their joint families and the sandosham that the children had, that is completely gone now in the society. It's not there anymore. So, if you look back into history, some years ago when they had, in the villages when they lived together, practically whole village will be family members only. Many family members, right? And sometimes they will go and eat in some other house and sleep there. And nobody will know about it, right? Now, there is no connection anywhere. So this is the, what I'm saying is that everything, our education, the social structure, and the family life, everything has gone against bhakti, right? So, now we have security check everywhere, wherever you go, right? So, that independence and that happiness what you felt, that is gone, right? Or for that, the only thing is how to make a lot of money in life, right? So, with that simplicity of life has gone. And anandam has gone, everyone is very serious and they are all living very far away from home, right? So, that's what he is saying, that there's so many interesting stories about this to make us aware how the change in the society has completely changed our way of thinking and our relationship with each other. Everything is gone. So there's a beautiful story about that. One person was going to office one day. He's very stressed out about the work in the office, right? He was going to the office. While going, there was an elephant was coming against. That elephant had lost its... you know the time when the elephants get a little bit funny? I think they call must, isn't it?
Yeah.
The thing comes out from that, right? So... So the elephant was coming against him like that, and he was going. So when he got the elephant, he said something to the elephant, and the elephant felt something funny, and the elephant ran back from there. Didn't talk to him. So other people noticed this, that he has said something to the elephant, and the elephant has ran away from there. So they asked him, "What have you done to the elephant?" He says, "I told the elephant I'm working in this company. I have a lot of tension," he says to him. So when he said this to the elephant, and Elephant felt very sad for me, and he cried. The elephant cried, seeing my how stressed out I am, right? And then I told the elephant that I achieved the target what the company has given to me. And when the elephant heard that, the elephant felt happy that I have achieved the target. This is a story made up, but to tell us the people that how we are these days, how people are like that, right? So, and then when the elephant was happy that I heard that I achieved the target, what was given to me, then I asked the elephant, do you want to join the company? He asked the elephant, it seems, right? So, elephant ran away from there, one run, straight away, right? So, and when the elephant ran away, right? In other words, even elephant was not interested in the job, what I was doing. Because that is how most of the people's life now is it not? Practically in life, there's nothing. They're just working hard like an ass all day and night, and to make a lot of money if possible, right? And all that, there's no totally lost the purpose of life. Life has got lost its goal. And Krishna has given us a lot of things. Krishna has given us Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Salsangam, and so many other things, bhakti, and way to get out of this whole mess. All these things Krishna has given, and we are not able to use any of that. This is our, the young people I'm talking about, their situation is like that. Old age is very difficult to change everything. But the right age, when these opportunities are there to develop bhakti, to understand things in the proper way, like Krishna has spoken, all that opportunity, they don't get it. But then it is too late, right? So, practically day and night working hard just to maintain this body. So Krishna's point is that these qualities cannot happen in that way, but the whole goal is now how much money you can make, right? And you can see the society if you look at it yourself, right? That in the olden days, some people worked a simple job in the government service, and he managed to live a life in this world, get his 3 or 4 daughters married, and finally was able to retire and live a small cottage somewhere and live a peaceful life at the end, right? Able to buy some little piece of land somewhere and grow some food. And look at young people today, they join into some big company in the IT industry or something, and they will buy a flat in the big cities like that. And the whole lifetime, you're paying back the money for this, paying for the flat, what you have bought in a big city, right? And everything is turned upside down now. This situation, like the way it is now, for to buy a place to live, somebody has to work the whole life, paying for the mortgage, right? So government knows these things, that somehow or the other, you put people into debt to such levels, right? Only then they will work very hard. Suppose there is a lot of things hanging on your shoulder, on your head, you know, like a lot of debts in the form of mortgage, in the form of children's education, and car, and so many other things. People buy all this money and all this debt they have in their life. And what the idea behind that is, so that person will work very hard throughout life. This, if you force people like that, right, where can be any sandosham, shandi, samadhanam in life? Where is it going to come from? If you have loaded someone at a young age, all the responsibility of a big home, a flat in a city with costing a lot of money, and whole life that burden of paying back to that, for that, and then there are other responsibilities as well. So, all this is not conducive for bhakti. That's no one thing. So, but Krishna is saying, the symptom of a devotee is santushta satatam yogi. How will you find in a person who is loaded with a debt like this to be Sandushta Satasam Yogi? How will that happen to him? If you have loaded that young man with such a big amount of debt on his shoulders and so much responsibility and expect him to be a devotee, it is not possible. Yeah. So Krishna says, devotee's nature is Sandushta Satasam Yogi. He has to develop, come to that state, he is saying. So, so thing is, Bhagavad Gita's expression of bhakti, Bhagavad Gita's explanation of bhakti, if you read that and connect it with the modern world today, the way of life it is now, it's going to be a long run for them to come to this understanding of bhakti. It's very difficult, right? Yeah. So, asti me vastu shailagre vastu paidamaham dhanam. Janaka says this, right? Janaka, King Janaka is the example Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita. Asti the Janakadaya, he's saying. So Janaka was that when Mithila was burning, he said, it won't affect me. He said, why? Nirmama. No mamada anywhere. Nirahangaram samadukha sugakshami. Nirmama nirahangara samadukha sugakshami, he says. Sandushta satatam yogi. So yogi, what Krishna is saying, when Krishna says yogi, it means that Krishna will use that word very freely in Bhagavad Gita. If you read Bhagavad Gita all the time, you will notice this word yogi Krishna is using, referring to your bhakta, to your jnani. And in several occasions, he will use that word yogi, right? So, one who is able to remember in that smarana of Krishna all the time, yoga yukto bhavarjuna, Krishna is saying to Arjuna also, yoga yukto bhavarjuna, he says, right? And if you look into the sixth chapter, when he's talking about it, he says, verse 20. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chayo atman atmanam ashyam atmani tushyati. This is a devotee, yogi. So yogi's qualification Krishna has defined there in the sixth chapter. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chayo atman atmanam ashyam atmani tushyati. This is a yogi. So where one is able to stay in that state of consciousness, right? Absorbed in the self and without allowing the mind to go into the world, his chittam is there. Yatra uparamate chittam. One who is a yogi, Krishna says, right? Not like now, half an hour in the morning or half an hour in the evening, right? Satatam. Pashyan atmani tushyadi yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya niruddham yoga sevaya. So able to remain in the platform of the self, that platform of spirituality, in other words, spirituality is not being connected to the body, to remain in that state. It is not possible to have spiritual understanding of life when we are very attached to the body. That's the first thing. Krishna is all the time repeating this to us. Come out of the body. Break away connection with the body. And main obstacles of that is karma first, to begin with. So therefore, he hit this karma yogam so strongly on us to tell us that with this understanding, that the karmam is binding us, getting it closer to the body, to become free from that first. And secondly, he is saying, yatra uparamate chittam. if the chittam also is not going towards the soul, rather it's going to other things in this world, that's also not favorable for self-realization. Also not favorable, right? Sarupa Smriti, knowing very well that we are consciousness. Body is not my identity. I am not this body. Body has nothing to do with me. So moving away from the body every second possible, right? Yadatma Dhradanishaya. So in order to do that, the senses have to be controlled and mind has to be controlled. And it, for a yogi, what happens is it has become his habit. He is habituated to that. He doesn't have to train anymore, right? Just like breathing, it has become his habit in that way. Control of senses, control of the mind. Initially, it is difficult, but it has to become natural at some stage in a person, right? So, just like children, when they study music, initially it is difficult for them. You know, the Sarigama, Padhanisa, all the Saptaswaram, they initially, when they start with that, it takes time for them. But big musicians, when they sing, when you heard that the fluency, the way in which they are relaxed about it, when you see that, it has become natural for them. All the advanced musicians, when they sing that, right? So, in this way, when a devotee is in this world, a lot of problems will come due to prarabdham, right? And that is what he is saying in the next verse. If you look at it, Yasmanno Dvijate Loko. Yasmanno, 15th verse. Yasmanno Dvijate Loko. Loganno Dvijate Chaya. Harsham, Amarsham, Bhayam, Udvegam, Muktoya, Sajame Priya. That's what a devotee is. You see, all these are internal things, qualities, right? Krishna has not spoken about your external things. How you dress or how you eat or how you sleep and all these things is not important. In the sense that those things are only relevant to the world outside. And the world inside is more important. Inside us, right? So Krishna is saying, Yasmanno Dvijate Loko, Loganno Dvijate Chaya, Harsham, Amarsham, Bhayam, Udvegam, Bhakto Yoga Samatsajame Priya, he says. Right? Main thing about a devotee, he says, he does not create any anxiety in anybody. Udvegam. Udvegam, right? Udvegam means it's a kind of a mental perversion. In the sense, kamam, krodham, ragam, dvesham, asuya, bhayam, all these things, abhimanam. We find all these things in others. Sometimes we notice that, right? One who does not create any of those things, these things, what is spoken here, kamam, dvesham, raga dvesham, kamam, krodham, all these things, right, asuya. And he says that it does not come from him, and it does not come from him, and he does not create this in anybody else. It's a very interesting, it's two internal things this is all. And you can only learn this from Mahatmas. Mahatmas will teach you how to deal with these kind of situations, right? So you got to be alert for that, to notice these things in the great personalities, right? So, potentially, now interesting thing is, right? Krishna is saying this verse, Yasmanno Dvijate Loko, Loganno Dvijate Chaya, Harsham, Amarsham, Bhayam, Udvegam, Bhaktoya, Muktoya, Sachame Priya. He is dear to me, Krishna is saying, one who has got all these qualifications, right? And he is established in Ahimsa, right? Patanjali also talks about that in the Yoga Sutra, right? Patanjali says that if 12 years, if you are in Ahimsa, right, and it will become your habit, Ahimsa, non-violence, right? So, about all kinds of spiritual qualities, in Patanjali's opinion, if you practiced it for 12 years, it will become very habit in you, habituated to you, right? He mentioned these 12 years there, in the Yoga Sutra, he mentions that, right? And sometimes, because in this time now, what we are living now, in this time, Everybody wants everything done like this, isn't it? In spiritual life also, they want to do this as quickly as possible, right? So sometimes people ask that, can you tell us whole Ramayana in a few hours, and tell us what in an hour or so, can you tell me what this Ramayana is all about, right? So he went to a scholar, one person, and asked him, can you tell me what is in this Ramayana? So he said, no, that 1 hour it's not possible, he said. To tell you about Ramayana, you need time for about few months at least, he said. How many months, he said? 3 months, he said. Oh, 3 months, I don't have the time, he said. I think I have got 1 month. Can you tell me within that? Then he says, at least in 10 days you can give me a summary of what it is there in the Ramayana.
Right.
He said, even if you give me 1 day, it's not possible. Right? So, what happens is that we went to someone, and there was a scholar, and the scholar said, when somebody asked him about Ramayana to speak to him in an hour, he said, I don't need so much time. He said, give me a lemon, he said. He took the lemon and threw it to the top. And when he threw the lemon to the top, by the time he came back, he said, I can tell you Ramayana within that time, he said. Not only Ramayana, I can tell you Mahabharata also in that time. When it goes up, it will be Ramayana. When it comes down, it will be Mahabharata, he said. So this person who has come, he says, what is that you are talking about? He said. So, all I'm saying is that when the lemon was going up, it's all it is that Ramana has abducted Sita. That's all. And the war happened and he was killed, right? And Ravana got destroyed. That's all. Then what about Mahabharata? He said. Mahabharata was when the lemon was coming back, he said, right? Then Duryodhana has tried to disrobe Draupadi. And with that, Krishna destroyed Duryodhana with that, he said. So, that's all it is. There's nothing more to it than that, he said. So, that kind of nature in people, to know things in such a short period of time, not able to relate with the Shastram properly and understand from there, right? So, in this way, spirituality has become like that today, in the modern world, right? Bhakti, spirituality is all like this now. Few minutes here, few minutes there, because nobody has time, right? So, whereas it requires a natural training for a long period of time, right? He does not give trouble to anybody, as Krishna is saying here. Yasmanu dvijade logo. Loganu dvijade chaya, that he also, the world also does not disturb him either, right? And because world cannot disturb him, reason being that, because he is not on the platform of the mind anymore, and therefore, why people suffer is because of the mind, is it not? So, he has thrown away that instrument called mind, and whatever way you give him trouble, he is not affected by that. And it to tell us that part is Bhikshu Gita in the Bhagavad. Remember Bhikshu Gita? He said that, isn't it? Nayam janomi sukha dukha hedu na devada atma graham karmam kalam manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivarteye bhul. Bhikshu Gita's famous words, that is, right? So, mind is the one which tells us happiness is there, distress is there, right? So, you can understand that people who have translated all this into their life, we didn't succeed in doing that. That's not the fault of the Shastra. Ekanath Swami and others, they succeeded in doing that, what Bhagavadam is saying. What Bhikshu has spoken, Ekanath Swami was able to practice it in life. We failed. That is why we say it's not practical. It's not the fault of the Shastra. That is why to understand bhakti, the best method is to read the history of the devotees. And from there you can see that they succeeded in doing that. Right? You remember when somebody got angry with Ekanath Swami and tried to spit at him several times. in spite of that he was not affected by that. And ultimately, they asked Ekanath Swami, why, how come that you were able to control yourself to such an extent? His answer was quite clear. He said, you spit at me, I can wash it off. But if I develop within my heart any kind of dvesham, hate towards you, then my spiritual life is over with that. There is no more spiritual life for me. So to come to that level of realization, what Bhikshu has spoken, so you can see Ekanath succeeded in doing that. Ekanath Swami succeeded in doing that, right? So there are many other stories about him. There are many other instances. So many other stories. People who may have not even heard about it. Pakana's story, which I am familiar with, what heard about a lot of times. He was walking in the street. Pakana is one of the 12 members of the Agnihotri's younger brothers, right? They were born from a pariah woman, a lower caste woman by a Brahmana. Father was Brahmana, the wife was from the lower caste. Children were born. All 12 of them were great souls. Pakana walking through the street. A man was selling some fruits, bananas and everything. You've seen this trolley-like thing with the four wheels. That's the usual system in India. You'll see, all the fruits. And then they push. He pushes the trolley and he sells it from the trolley. Trolley means it's a big table-like thing. It's a big table. Fruits they sell from that, isn't it? So he parked his trolley somewhere, the man who is selling the fruit, and he has gone away somewhere to get a cup of tea or something like that. He went out, right? Paknar was passing through. Paknar saw the trolley and he was very hungry. Paknar was extremely hungry, right? So he went and picked up a couple of fruits from there and he ate it. By then the man came back and he caught him. And he beat him. So, as usual in India, all the village people who are in the town wandering around here and there, they also join. They also beat him altogether. They altogether beat him, right? So then they asked him that, why did you do this? So Paknari's answer was very interesting. He says, I told my mind not to do it, but he won't listen. He told me to take it, so I did that. So you beat me more, he says. And showed it himself like that. What I'm saying is that they have disconnected, because after all, everyone is entitled for some food. When you are hungry, you are entitled for food, no matter who it is, right? That's Krishna's arrangement is like that. Like the animals, birds, they all get their food. Why only human society you have to have all the restrictions as far as food is concerned? Food is allowed for everyone. If you have got a body, you are entitled for food. So Pakana's position was that I didn't want to steal your food, what you are selling. I know this is your livelihood. But I have taken the fruits because my body wanted that food. Body was demanding the food. And I was saying to the body not to do it. But it has done this now. So you should also beat my body, he says. And he was telling everybody to beat him because he is not listening to me. So in other words, Pakana was so disconnected from the body. Antaryami self has not stolen anything, has not taken anything. It's the body's demand to have some food that has caused this problem. So he says, body has done that, I have not done it, it's nothing to do with me. You can beat as much as you want and I will also support that you should beat the body, he said. So the thing is that the everything is how you perceive things. How you perceive things. People who are very strongly identifying with the body, they will perceive things in a different way. They feel offended, they feel other things, right? Say somebody abused you in a language which you do not know, you won't be affected by that, would you? You won't be affected by that. Suppose I don't know the language, and suppose you abuse me with some in any language which I don't know, then Whatever you tell me, I will think, take it that you're happy with me, you're telling me something nice, and I'll walk away from you. Thank you very much. We'll go like that, right? So this bhasha, language, is a lot depends on one's swabhavam also, right? Vedam says so, right? For example, sound if you take the sound, sound itself is got Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra in the sound itself. Yeah. Sound itself you can break up into four, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Example, look at this example, right? A person is coming to your house, right? How you receive that person? It can be a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. Depends on your sound. How is that? If it is, if you are receiving that guest without any expectation from him, purely out of hospitality, you are receiving a person, it is Brahmana that you are welcoming. You are welcoming with a Brahminical mood, Brahminical mind. That means when you tell a person to come in, you will say like that, that word is Brahmanam, Brahmam it is, right? If you order him to come along, come inside, he says, that is Kshatram. Same sound, to ask him to come in a way, authoritative way, in a, with a power, if you say to him, come in, he says, that's Kshatram, right? And suppose you are expecting doing some deal with him, our term, everything business-like, right? Expecting something to come out of him by making some deal with him, that's Vaishya. And the way you welcome that person, the welcoming words are same to come in, right? But that can be, the mood behind that could be Brahmanyam, Kshatram or Vaishyam, asking him to come inside, right? So if you are expecting something to make a deal with him and to get something out of him, and because that's how business people are, then it is Vaishyam. Instead, if you want to do something to him, to do some service to him, in a seva bhava, in a mood of doing some service to him, and in a state of helplessness, you are trying to do something for him, that is Shudra. So, one bhavam, it can become Brahmam, Kshatram, Vaishyam or Shudram, according to the way it is spoken. That is how sound is, right? So, when we, it is on this basis, now everybody talks about caste, isn't it? Everybody curses caste because we are told it's all wrong and this and that. But actually the understanding of caste system is coming from a different field altogether because of this lack of understanding, right? So, in the past, when people judged others, who the caste they were belonged to is based on the sound they have spoken, what they have spoken, right? Similarly, in the case of this impact that the sound creates in another person about your nature. The sound is an amazing thing, you see. In this body, we make this sound, isn't it? And we are able to convert, transmit our feelings, emotions, everything to others through sound, right? Where is sound coming from? Science has no explanation. You can say the mechanism, you can say how the it works. You can talk about sound comes and comes out through the mouth and all that. But how does the sound come? That is, Upanishads talks about that. The sound is a representation of the Antaryami inside. Without Antaryami, there is no sound in anybody, right? So, the souls from where sound comes is the soul. Without the presence of the soul, there is no sound. There are so many things to study about this body. Not like the way the science is telling us. You have to study it in a different way. Like, you can just imagine this. When you grow up, when you are very small, you don't have many memory, isn't it? You don't remember anything. Small children, they forget everything very quickly. By about 5, 6, 7 years, memory starts coming to us. And that stays with us till we are very old, 60, 70, 80, and then memory leaves us. So in our life, at a certain stage memory comes in, and at a certain stage memory leaves us. We don't have the same memory when you are 80, 85. You don't have the same memory what you had when you were at 30. You can see how our own life, how that happens. Is it not? People by age of 70, 75, slowly, slowly memory power is leaving us. So memory power came in life at some time and memory power left us at some time. Who decided this? Antaryami inside. And without all Antaryami's activity within us, if you try to understand spiritual life, what can you understand about spiritual life? Antaryami does so many things from inside. When he gives us memory power when he thinks we need it. And he takes it off when he thinks we don't need it anymore. At the old age, you can't remember anything. Most of the things we forget. Now to remember something, you have to write it down. You have to keep the watch nearby. You have to keep the medicines in a particular boxes in the front so that you don't forget it. All the medicines, isn't it? So in the same way, sometimes you put one socks one color, another socks another color, because mind is not able to remember anything. So this way, if you observe like that, right? So Shabdam, its power is talking about, right? And so, so Atma's presence inside, one way of knowing that this is verbal expression of the sound, right? And so that is why Nama Sankirtanam, chanting the holy name, Kirtanam, all this is Shabda Brahmam. This is Shabda Brahmam, right? And so, and only those who are higher understanding of the spiritual life, who have the knowledge of spiritual life, established in the self, and who have that experience, they alone can remain in this world unaffected by the sound. Unaffected by the sound, right? Sound is a big thing. It's a language, is it not? If you think about the sound, it is an absurd thing. All animals, birds, all make different kind of sounds. And you start wondering, why do they all make sound? We are also making sound. They are also making sound. We have a language of expression, our own. They also have their own way of doing things, right? And you observe yourself that, suppose you are having a conversation, and somebody else next to you standing there having a conversation with somebody else, right? And by then in their conversation, suppose your name is mentioned, obviously your attention will go there. What are they talking about me? What have I done? I'll say, like that? Yeah. So all this is trying to tell us that something happens to us when we hear a sound, has some impact on us, right? And so something, when we hear a sound, it has some impact in us, in our brain, in our thoughts, emotions, everything, right? Suppose somebody said something very bad about you to somebody, and you overheard that, or through someone else you heard about that, it could even affect your sleep, but thinking about it, right? So, so this impact of sound on us, how to become free from that, and for that tapasya, it says tapasya, right? Tapasya means, what tapasya is all about is that dvaidam creates this problem. Dvaidam means, vyavaharam we do in this world. In this vyavaharam, in order to come to this level of realization, that is why Advaita Nishtha is important there, that in order to become free from that dvaidam, one has to be focused on, Eganath Swami calls it as Egatattva Dhyanam. Egatattva. Egatattva Dhyanam. Yeah. Eganath Bhagavatam, he mentions this. I am Ega. Egam, I am alone. That realization, right? Same thing you will see in the Lalita Sahasranam spoken also, Eka Viradi Samsevya, about
Sri Bhagavad is spoken. In other words, what that means is that within ourselves, not allowing to accept another reality second from you. Actually, there is only one reality. Dvaitam comes to us due to our dealings with the world. Vyavaharam. Me, you, he, she, they, all these are dvaitam. And the dvaita bhavana creates this problem. And therefore, he says, that's what Krishna is saying here. Lokanno dvijade chaya. How does that happen? Lokanno dvijade chaya. That logam gives you trouble. Well, logam means the world, gives you trouble. But you are not disturbed. Why? Harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam, muktaha. No excitement, no fear, no udvegam. Krishna says, sachame priya. Yeah. These are things to be thought through, what Krishna is saying. When Krishna is saying here, that harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam, mukta, yeah, sachame priya. One who is free from all these things. What that means is, that anything that is spoken about you or others have said to you, you are not disturbed over that. Harsham, amarsham. Suppose somebody glorifies you, you feel harsham. Somebody insults you, you feel amarsham. Then fear, bhayam of another one existing. Udvegam, anxiety about that. One who is free from all these, Krishna is saying, muktaha, sachame priya, he is very dear to me. So, Krishna's definition of a devotee. You see? Yasmano dvijade loga, logano dvijade chaya, harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam, muktoya, sachame priya, he is dear to me. So, to understand what a devotee is, right? Then in the next verse, he is saying, anabheksha sujir daksha, udasino gadavyada, sarva arambha parityagi, Yo mal bhakta sachame priya. 16th verse. Yeah. See, what are they? Anabhekshaha. He is not asking for anything from anybody. Anabhekshaha. Right? No desire inside. And I want this, I want that. No, nothing. And fear about tomorrow, what will happen tomorrow. That's also gone from here. Because he is not thinking about the future. He is complete himself now. Right? And because he is complete now, he is not worried about the future. Shuchi, anabheksha, shuchir daksha, he says. So, anabheksha, shuchir daksha. Shuchi means that because of self-realization or knowledge of the soul, he is always clean inside. And then, no ashuchi, then dakshaha. Daksha means very dexterous, you can say, very expert in that, right? Capable, you can say. Right? Here, what Krishna is referring to is yoga karmasu kaushalam. He is expert in spiritual life, in spiritual side of life. Right? In other words, when you do karmam, able to do karmam without expectation of results, as a yoga, karma yoga process, right? And without getting affected by the after effect of karmam. You know how it is. You do karmam, bhalam will come. That's one side of it. Another side is that it will create vasana inside. And then vasana will create material existence further. You'll have to accept another body to get through the vasana. Right? So, without creating any bondage to material life, material existence, able to do karmam, that is what that means. That means, without having expectation of results from karma, and not to have any after effect of karma in the form of vasana inside, and able to execute karma in that way, that is what is called kaushalam, daksha. That word daksha refers to that. Yeah? Daksha means that, anabheksha sujir daksha. Then, in other words, that anything what is done, then there is no anxiety about it anymore. Sarva arambha parityagi, he says. He does not go and get involved in any new karma. And this is all symptoms of mahatmas. They do not do that, right? About Maharshi, they used to say like this, that you asked him anything, he will say, no, I don't want anything, he said. But at the same time, if you start something, he will tell you everything about it, but he does not want to get involved in anything, stays out of it, right? And whatever he had to do, he will do it on his own, able to do that. So the thing is that this thing, Sarvarambha Parityagi. Sarvarambha Parityagi means he doesn't go and get involved in everything and get caught up in that, entangle himself in that way. And because once you get involved in so many things, so many problems will come from that. Yeah. And you won't be able to do anything. So therefore, you withdraw from that, not to get involved in anything. Right. And what is Sodharmam, he will do that. So that is what he is saying here. Then he is saying that the next verse, Krishna is saying, such a person is dear to me. Then he said, Yovana Krishyadi Nadveshti, Na Shochadi Na Kangshadi, Shubha Shubha Parityagi, Bhakti Manya Same Priyaha. That Harsham Amarsham, what he said before, the same thing he is saying, Yovana Krishyadi, the same thing. Krishyadi Dveshti, which is Harsham Amarsham. And if something happens in life, he's not particularly concerned about it, happiness about it. He doesn't feel excited about it. And similarly, something happens which you don't like it, and he's not going to get affected by that. He does not feel disturbed over that, right? Their position is that, and everybody in this world is facing happiness and distress, one way or the other, right? And what is so special about it if it comes to me, right? People think that once you become a devotee, no distress will come, everything will be very smooth after that, life will be wonderful. It is not like that, is there? Devotees also suffer in this world, right? So problems what everybody else is having, you can also get it. It's not that you'll be free from that. So the Krishna's point is that Yona Krishadi na Dveshti na Shochadi na Gangshadi. If good or bad comes in life, he is not particularly excited about it, or not he is very much concerned about it. Right? So that means his nature doesn't change. He's always same person, able to accept everything, right? In other words, for him, everybody is the same. He thinks that everyone is going through hardship, suffering, and good times and bad times, sufferings and happiness, and nothing special about him. And therefore, his approach is that if distress comes in life, tolerate it, right? No hate at all towards anyone because of that. Yeah. Ramosmi Sarvam Sahi. Bhavabhudi says that. Bhavabhudi says, I was born as Ramachandra and therefore I am willing to suffer anything, accept everything. Right? So, that is the principle behind that. Yeah. So, Sarva Arambha Parityagi is mentioned, Yom Bhakta Samaya Priya. Here he says, Shubha Shubha Parityagi. In the last words, Krishna said, Sarva Arambha Parityagi. Here Krishna is saying, Shubha Shubha Parityagi. Na Shochadi Na Kangshadi. No hankering after anything, no lamentation. And as far as he is concerned, that he is not particularly concerned about what happens in the world, right? And he is not hoping that a future is going to come which is going to be fantastic, happiness. He is not imagining things like that. In other words, he understands life properly, about this life, right? He knows very well that in this world if you live, it's not going to be happiness only. Happiness will come, and at the same time, distress will also come, he is able to accept both. Able to accept both. Right? So, we know very well that what future is in waiting, is it not? That some problems will come in life. As you get older, you understand that a situation comes, you realize that nobody can help you actually. When your own body gives you trouble, you slowly started realizing that there is no point in blaming anyone, complaining about anybody. The system is such, the way it's created is like that. If you are meant to suffer through a certain thing, you may say, oh, I could do this, I could do that, so many arrangements you can think about. Nobody will be able to help. The suffering, what you have to go through, you have to go through. There is no solution to that problem, right? So, and if you keep on thinking about it, that it is not going to end anywhere. And that's what Krishna is pointing out there. Harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam. Right? Yona krishadi na dveshti, na shojadi, na kankshadi, shubham, ashubham. Auspicious, inauspicious. Whatever happens, parityagi. Not taking it into the heart. Accepting it. This accepting is more important. This acceptance, that is what Krishna is saying all the time, that I have given you this capacity to tolerate things. Instead of allowing that power of tolerance to grow inside, you are trying to counteract every time with the situation that is forced upon in life. That's the wrong approach. Krishna's position is like that. We got habituated to that. Any problem comes, immediately we jump up and see what's the solution in the world outside. And that's not spiritual. That attitude is not spiritual. You may do things what is within your capacity, but to think that every problem in this world I have to sort out before I can become happy in this world, if you take that approach, it is not, Krishna is saying, it's not a devotee's approach. No matter, we will act like this because we are not devotees enough as far as Krishna is concerned. Krishna's point is, if you have become a devotee, this will be the way that devotee will behave. That's the point Krishna is making. If you have become a devotee, this is how he will behave. In other words, in a devotee, these qualities will manifest automatically, right? So, that is what he is saying in that, right? So, you see the word Shubha Shubha Parityagi, he is saying here. This is the problem in this world, right? These are things you have to analyze it a little bit more, right? Shubham Ashubham, auspicious, inauspicious, right? You know, in the olden days when they made movies, right? At the end, it ends like this. They don't say it is Shubham. That means you have seen the movie. And most of the marriage, the movies will finish with a marriage and they will show this word Shubham, right? And heroine gets married. After a long time of separation, they come together and they get married and all that, right? And after that, they won't show what happens after the marriage, right? Because you don't know what's written on their head after that, what they have to go through together, the suffering in life, right? So therefore, what they do, they say Shubham, and the movie is over with that. Similarly, death is Ashubham, right? Somebody dies, it's Ashubham, inauspicious, right? So that is... that's why when a death happens, when the movie is very tragedy thing, like people get killed and all kinds of disasters happen, it will never show Ashubham, but when the movie ends like that, people leave the cinema hall after seeing disturbed over that this has happened, right? Krishna is saying, a devotee doesn't have Shubham, Ashubham, right? For him, death is also Shubham. Shubham, right? What is that? Sometimes you see people in this world, they want to die, but it's not coming. You might have seen such situations with people. People want to die. They don't want to live in this world. They had enough of this world. They want to die, but the time hasn't come. Prarabdham is keeping them still.
when that happens, right?
So, due to that, they are struggling, and the people who are looking after them, family members, they're also suffering, and even their friends, society, they also feel bad about it, right? So, in time, death also must come in life. If death doesn't come, that is inauspicious. Whereas if the death comes in time, it is auspicious. Right. So, shubham, ashubham, that thought, this is auspicious, this is inauspicious, that thought leaves a devotee. Proper devotee Krishna is talking about. When you study these verses, and when you think what conception you had about a devotee, our conception is one who is wearing dhoti, keeping shikha, and kantimala, beads bag. This is all supposed to be a devotee for us. But Krishna's devotee, he is saying all these things. This is what a devotee is, right? So he says here, bhakti manya samepriya. He is a devotee who is very dear to me. Next verse, 18th and 19th. Samashatrauja mitreja tadha manava manayo shidoshna sukadukvesho samasanga vivarjidaha tulya nindastudir mauni sandushto yena kena chet sandushto yena anigeda sthiramadar bhakti manme priyo naraha. He doesn't have friend and enemy, and others may think of him as their enemy, but some others say think of him as a friend, but as a devotee is concerned, devotee doesn't have a friend or an enemy, right? And he knows that in the friend, inside the friend, inside the enemy whom he thinks, it's only Krishna who is present in them as Antaryami, right? So that is that Sarvatma Bhavam, acceptance that one Atma present in everyone. And due to that, he does not have manam, abamanam. Sandus is a ser, sama satraujam, shatraujam, itreja, tadha manava manayo. Right? If somebody glorifies him, people who have got manam, they get pleased about that. And if somebody insults him, avamanam, he gets disturbed over that. But this does not happen to a devotee, right? Because Yoga Vasishtham says, asammana tavo buddhihi, sammana tava kshayam. Means, if you think about it in a different way, if asammana tavo buddhihi, in other words, if you get insulted everywhere, criticized everywhere, what it does is, your tapasya gets better. You develop strength inside. If you are criticized heavily, and if you are always condemned, and if everybody looks down upon you, that is actually a strength inside for that person. Ahangaram goes away from inside. So, therefore, he says, asammana tapavudhihi sammanal tapakshayaha. Whereas if you are always praised and glorified everywhere, and respected, and treated like a great soul, your tapas goes away. Tapakshayaha. Asammanam tapo buddhihi. Sammanam tapakshayaha. Yoga system says so. So, therefore, you remember what Bhikshu said, the same thing, is it not? As much as he was insulted, he was feeling happy about it, that ahangaram was going away from inside. Which means, when ahangaram leaves, what is the benefit? Bodily identification goes. That's the beauty of that. You see, this bodily identity, what we have so strongly inside us, it's not so easy to take it out from inside. We have a lot of problems inside. Problem from karma, identification with the body, right? So, as much as you get respected and honored, what happens is, bodily abhimanam, sharira abhimanam, deha abhimanam will keep increasing, right? And whereas if everybody insults you, and the devotee takes it like this, after all he is insulting my body, my real nature is Antaryami, you can't insult Antaryami anyway, right? So people ask these questions always, you know, people who are more advanced in spiritual life, people are more worried about inside more than the outside, right? They will ask such questions. Somebody asked Maharshi about this, Ramana Maharshi about this, right? So he says that if anybody insults you, what should I do? Somebody asked Maharshi about this. Maharshi said, you also join them and insult yourself with them. Why? Because they are insulting your body, isn't it? The body acts different ways in different times. And they didn't like it, so they insulted you. So you also join and insult them, right? So in this way, you should insult your own body and in that way, get rid of that identification with the body. Sharira Abhimanam, yeah? Abhimanam means this, even though our body is so useless, still our identification is so strong and we give a lot of value for this body, what we carry, is not. We are so connected with this body, you see. And the Rishi's point is that if you don't learn to break away from the body as early as possible, it will cause a lot of problems at the time of death. So, therefore they are saying that if you read all great devotees' life, you will see this in them. Continuously trying to break away from the body as much as possible. If others insult them, they don't take it seriously. Because they are insulting the body, I have nothing to do with the body. This is their attitude. If somebody is insulting, they are insulting my body, what can I do? I am not this body. Why do I worry about it? Right? So, and Kabir says this. Kabir says that if somebody criticizes you a lot, pay him some salary and keep him at home. So that he continuously reminds you that you are not the body. Just like while you are bathing in the bathroom, you use the washing soap to wash your body. He says you should pay someone and keep him to continuously wash your inside in that way. Right? So Krishna is saying that sama shatrauja mitreja tadha manoma maneyo shidoshna sukadukeshu samam sangavivarjidaha. Able to accept things in that way. You will see this in the Bhagavad. You see, subtle things in the Bhagavad is more important. Yeah? If you remember, before Bhikshu Gita started, what Krishna said to Uddhava. Do you remember? So valuable instruction it is. Yeah? We want spiritual life on our terms. That's the problem. That's not available, unfortunately. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, that's what he said to him, is it not? He used one some particular words there, if you look at that, and that's how you understand what Krishna is saying. What Krishna is saying, in certain instances, if you, right before the, he said, Shittasmad Uddhava Ma Bhunkshva, Vishayan asadindriyaihi alma agrahana narbhadam pashavaikalpiyam brahmam. If you take that one line, that second line, alma agrahana narbhadam pashavaikalpiyam brahmam, that's what we are all going through. That brahmam which creates vikalpam inside us. Why? Because we have no realization of the antaryami inside. Almam agrahana narbhadam. Pashya Vaikalpikam Brahmam. That one line is the whole essence of Bhikshu Gita. Through Bhikshu, Krishna is saying to us that Tasmad Uddhava. You know, when Krishna uses the word Tasmad, you can take it that there is a serious message coming after that. In Bhagavad Gita also it's the same thing. He loves that word Tasmad. You know, people have a way of saying different things. And Krishna's way is that Tasmad. When Tasmad comes, you can take it that Krishna is trying to say something very important. Sometimes, in life you see sometimes some people, they have this habit of saying, as you said, they will say. You may not have said that, but they will say like this. And sometimes they will say, as you said, like that. I have not said like that. He says, no, as you said, they will say like this. So this is habit like that. Similarly, Krishna has the habit of saying like, the only difference is, when Krishna says tasmad, it's followed by something real, proper message. So here it is, yeah? What did he say? Kshiptam, avamanito, asadbi, pralabdho, asuito thava, tadida sannibaddhova, vrityava parihavida, nishtido mutrido vai, ajnir pragudayvam prakambida, shrayaskama krishagada, alpman alpmanam uddharel. This is the only way, Uddhava, there is no other way. He says, alpman alpmanam uddharel. You have to elevate yourself, he said. That you have to, yad buddheya man, and Uddhava immediately said it is difficult. He said, yad buddheya man buddheyam vadano vadadam vara, sudusaham imam mani, alpmani asadadikramam. So, alpmani asadadikramam, this asadadikramam will happen. So, when Uddhava said that, Krishna said, no. I will tell you a story, what happened to someone about Bhikshu. And that's how Bhikshu Gita comes in the Bhagavatam, right? So, you can see from that, Krishna has a, Krishna will always say, some example he will bring it in, when somebody says to him, it's not possible. Krishna will say, no, it is possible. People have done that. If you also try, you can also make it. That is Krishna's answer to that. That is why he brought that Bhikshu inside, Bhikshu into the story, right? So, so he says to Uddhava, so he says here, so what he said to Uddhava was, Alpad asad adhikramam, asad adhikramam, right? It is at that time when he said that, when Uddhava said Alpmani asad adhikramam in that 59th verse, Yadayam anabuddhyayam vadano vadanam vara sudusahamimam mani Alpmad asad adhikramam. When Krishna, when Uddhava said Alpmani asad adhikramam, right? Krishna spoke Bhikshu Gita. He spoke Bhikshu Gita, right? So, it may not be possible in our life in this world to come to that level, what Krishna is saying, right? And but we have to know that this is the medicine, right? If you reflect on all these things, what Krishna is saying there, and that way, to some extent, you can bring your mind under control. Yeah. So that's what he's saying here. Able to see. Then he said, "Tulya ninda sudhir mauni." Sandushto yena kena chit. Anigeda seramadir bhakti manmi priyonara. Ninda and studi, both things, right? Ninda and studi, both these things, he says, when a devotee hears that is mauni. Ninda means praise, insult. Studi means praise, right? Not the silence due to maunam, not in that way, silence, right? Inside chittam, no vikriya. It means no thoughts allowing to develop inside, able to stay in that. Yena yena chiram ishtaha. For example, if you get something in life, you feel happy. And just like, suppose you're hungry, you got some food, you feel happy. Right? That is Krishna's mercy. Right? That you got the, and similarly, if you didn't have clothes, you got some clothes, you're happy about that. Right? So, anigeda, Krishna is saying anigedaha. Anigeda means that avadhudas, that means they don't have a place to stay in this world, always parivrajanam, traveling, wandering around here and there. Like you remember, Daksha gave a curse to Narada Maharshi in this world, right? That you will not be able to stay anywhere permanently. You will be always on the move. So, sannyasi is also always on the move, right? So, one day at one place, another day at another place, right? So, bahudhak, that's how that name comes, bahudhak, right? Anigeda siramadi, keep on changing place. Imagine your whole life you have to keep moving from every day one place to another. No permanent residence anywhere, right? So, Krishna's point is, even if you are moving like that, if your buddhi, is in the proper place, in one place, right? If you keep your buddhi and the mind in me, he says, then you are a devotee. So that's what he's saying here. Anigeda sthiram adhir. Anigeda, you are anigeda, you have no place of residence. But your madhi, buddhi, is fixed in one place. That is what is supposed to be for a sannyasi, right? Then, body is continuously moving. But inside there is no movement. It is permanently fixed in Krishna, right? And so, yadri yadrachigo bhavet, nirstuti, nirnamaskaram, nothing happens, right? Continuously. So even if the body is moving, inside there is no movement. Properly fixed in the spiritual platform. Anigedaha, sthiramadi, bhakti manme priyo naya. Not able to, he is not staying in one place, but he is continuously moving. But because he is established in the self, in the Atma, therefore he is very dear to me, Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna. So, in this way, Krishna spoke about the symptoms of a devotee. You see, this is Krishna's devotee in Bhagavad Gita. This is how Krishna sees a devotee. That verse from 12 onwards, right up to 19, you can say. So everything is related to internal things, right? So, and Krishna says, such a devotee, I will follow him. Like he said in the Bhagavatam, Niravaksham, Munim Shandam, Nirvairam, all these same qualities there also. So devotee in Krishna's eyes is that one. Niravaksham, Munim Shandam, Nirvairam, Samadarshinam, Anuprajami Aham Nityam Bhuyayet Angri Renubhi. He defined that in the Bhagavatam like that. And here Krishna is saying exactly the same thing, who a devotee is, right? So Krishna finishes that. That's all he has to say about a devotee. Bhakti manme priyo nara. And such a devotee is very dear to me, right? In other words, one who does not possess anything in this world, who doesn't take any ownership of anything, me or mine, and totally taken shelter of Krishna, completely. And he is a Paramahamsa, and different names used, Bhagavata, Uttama, Paramahamsa, all this is, right? Paramahamsa, Dharmahamsa, Dharmam it is. Paramahamsa, Dharmam, right? And that's why Bhagavadam is also referring to such people only as devotees, who are what is called as Paramahamsa Samhita, Bhagavadam is called, right? Therefore, such a devotee is very, very dear to me, Krishna called. And then he completes this chapter, 12th chapter, Bhakti Yogam, with a beautiful verse. Yedu dharmyamrutam idam, yadoktam paryubhasade, shraddha dhana mal parama, bhakta se adivame priyaha, he said. Yeah. Then he gave him a name for him, right? We talking about dharmam, dharmam, we say. Edu dharmyamrutam idam, he says. The problem is that this dharmam, outside dharmam, will change in this world. Yeah? Outside dharmam. For example, dharmam what you say in India is not dharmam here. Dharmam in Africa may be different, in America it will be different, right? And outside dharmam, can change from place to place, right? Similarly, in religions also, the dharmam outside is different for different religions, right? And also you can't bring that dharmam everywhere and tell everybody else should follow that. Like in the warm weather, when you live, you don't need so many clothes. Simple clothes is sufficient, right? Whereas some other places that is 0 degrees or freezing, and you cannot live with the same clothes there. So that means your bahya dharma, external dharma, changes from place to place. In cold, warm weather, you could have one style of clothing. In the warm, hot, cold weather, you could require different types of clothing. So that is all bahya dharma, external dharma, and that will change, right? But you will notice certain things is for every religion has to accept that. Otherwise, it's not even acceptable as a religion. Not hating anybody. Similarly, friendship to all, samabhavam, right? And always speaking truth, right? This applies to everybody, actually. It applies to everyone, right? And if somebody says it's not in our religion, that means there's something wrong with your religion. If you're not accepting all this, is it not? That Maitri Bhavam, Samabhavam, always speak the truth, and not to hate anyone. These are qualities accepted by all the great personalities. If some great personality has not accepted, there is something wrong with that personality then. Because these qualities are universal. Nobody can deny them. Satyam, Ahimsa, and Samabhavam, Maitri. Who can say they are not the best qualities in this world, right? So, Sanatana Dharma means, this is what Sanatana Dharma means. Because this Dharma will never change any time. It is eternal. For anyone who has come to spiritual life, these holds good. You cannot deny them under any circumstances, right? So, Ranganathananda, he wrote a famous book. You can see that the eternal values for the changing society. That's the name of the book. He was the head of the Ramakrishna Mission. He was a good speaker. And he used to say this, that Sanatana Dharma, the world has to accept it. There is no choice in that. Because that's the only one which makes sense to anybody. And you bring any other concept of religion, that is your concoction. It has nothing to do with this. Sanatana Dharma means truthfulness, not violent towards anyone, respecting life everywhere, and equal vision to all these things, right? So that's why he titled the book like Eternal Values for a Changing Society. In the society's lifestyle will keep changing, right? For example, external values will undergo change when you go from one place to another. And whether it is Hindu, Christian, Islam, whatever it may be, if these qualifications like Satyam, truthfulness, compassion, Karunyam, mercifulness, Sauhurdam, friendship, Maitri Bhavam, it is applicable to everybody. If you are not accepting that, there is something wrong with your system, with the process, right? So, whereas our external activities may be different from one person to another, right? So, for example, some sampradayams in some different countries, if you have grown up in different places, you have adopted that system, what is existing in that society where you were born and grew up, right? And that society has established a certain way of life to suit their system there. And you can't blame them for that. That's their way of life, right? So, similarly, dressing up. We dress in one way in one place. We dress in another way in another place, right? And so, these changes, external changes, should not be taken seriously. They are not important, right? And only, for example, even in worship, deity worship, it will change from one place to another place. In one temple, it's worshipped in another way, in another temple, right? And they're all, it's no point in saying their system is wrong, my system is right, they're all illogical or irrational, and if you say like that, right? There is some reason why they have instituted a system like that. But this is all Bahya Dharma, right? So depending on the time, depending on the place, and depending on the people, this external dharma will vary. Patanjali says this in the Yoga Sutra. He says, Sarvabhava Mahavratam. He mentions this like that. That means the eternal principles of eternal values of Sanatana Dharma holds good. No matter whether you go to heavenly planets, hellish planets, this Dharma is so clear. That means truthfulness, non-violence, and equal vision, seeing all living entities on an equal platform, friendship to all, compassion to others. These are eternal values of Sanatana Dharma, right? So, wherever you go, you have to have this. And this is why, if you look into Ekadasha Skandam, in the 10th chapter, when Krishna has talked about the to Bhagavata Dharmam to Uddhava, he said, Yamana Bhishnam Seveta Nemam Madparakochel Jitnyasayam Sampravarte Nadriel Karma Chodanam. A famous verse that is in the 11th canto, in the 10th chapter. You will see this. Right in the beginning, Krishna is saying that to Uddhava. Yamana Bhishnam Seveta Nevan Malparakuchal Jitnyasayam Sampravarte Nadriel Karma Chodanam. We discussed that verse when we were discussing that chapter. It is the it's the fifth verse. Right in the beginning. He is saying that Yamana Bhishnam Seveta Nevan Malparakuchal Jitnyasayam Sampravarte Nadriel Karma Chodanam. So niyamam means the rules and regulations. You can do according to the time, place where you are. It will change, obviously, right? And for example, you go to Badrinath or Kedarnath in the winter season, or even in the summer season when you go, it's cold there for those who are coming from the warm weather. And when you go there and when you see the beautiful river Alaganandam flowing there, you want to jump into it, have a good dip and bathe. Once you jump in and how cold it is, then you don't want to stay anymore, you want to come out. But you want to enjoy that freshness and the beautiful air and the beautiful the cold water, clean, clear water coming from the Himalayas, coming out. So it gives you an inspiration compared to all other rivers in the land, right? So okay, you may stay there for some time, you'll get used to it to some extent, right? So Krishna is saying here, you look at that word, dharmya amrtam idam, he says. Dharmya amrtam idam. This dharma, what I have spoken, Krishna says, is for everybody. One should follow this, he said. One should come to this level. This is the benchmark. This is what he has spoken in this chapter, right? And therefore, he is calling it as dharmyam amrtam. Amrtam, right? It's not ordinary dharmam. Ordinary dharmam is dharmam what changes from place to place. But dharmyam amrtam means that under any circumstances, it's not going to change, right? Another interesting thing is that, important thing, Krishna didn't begin with satyam here. He began with ahimsa first, right? For example, the problem with satyam is this. Why satyam was put after ahimsa? Ahimsa is given more priority than satyam. The reason is that Krishna had taken it from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. Patanjali also gave ahimsa more important than satyam. They are both high qualities, are they not? Satyam and ahimsa. Normally people think satyam is higher than everything else. No, ahimsa is higher than satyam. Why? So the reason is this, that they give an example for that. When he said this, Adveshtam Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yavacham, all the internal things Krishna has spoken in this chapter, inside things, what has to change, right? And not to move away from dharmam. And he said that this is dharmya amrtam, he mentioned, right? And one who takes this approach of what Krishna has spoken here, right? Then what will happen is, he said there that upasate shraddha, which shraddha, he said there, isn't it? Shraddha dhanam alparamam, with the intention or goal of self-realization, right? Then te bhaktaha, he is my devotee, Krishna is saying, right? Ativa me priyaha, he is very dear to me, and he said, shraddha dhana madparama, bhakta se ativa me priya, nobody else is more dear to me than him, right? And that is how he finishes this chapter. In one instance, I wanted to say this before I finish this, that why ahimsa was put before satyam, right? Satyam, while execution of satyam, there is some problem sometimes. A man was sitting there, and a cow came running into the house, right? Cow tried to, somebody was chasing the cow to capture it and kill it, to slaughter the cow, right? So the cow came running and cow got into the house. So this person noticed that somebody was chasing the cow to get it slaughtered, right? So he came and asked this man, where did the cow go? He said, I don't know. He didn't tell the truth. So in order to protect cow, he spoke a lie in order to protect the cow. And that is considered to be satyam. It's not a satyam. There, ahimsa is more important than satyam. To save one life, if you have to tell a lie, that is acceptable at that point, that particular situation. So therefore, to make this judgment based on ahimsa and satyam, you got to have that understanding also, under what circumstances, how to put it into practice before we condemn someone on that. So all these qualifications what Krishna has spoken, and then he finishes that chapter, Bhagavad Gita Su, Upanishad Su, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastra, Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. It is Brahma Vidya, it is Yoga Shastram, and Bhakti Yoga Stum, Bhakti Yoga. He finishes with that here. Yeah? So we'll continue, we'll start 13th chapter tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadaya Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.